Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The Sunday Session is brought to you by More Beer, who has just opened their East Coast Distribution Center and is now shipping orders from California and Pennsylvania. Check them out at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No.
We're going to teabag fight.
Yeah. You heard of Junkyard Wars?
Can I get another high five, Beavis?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right, let's just get started, shall we? Bevo's here on time.
Yay.
What happened? Did you get fired?
No, I just hate my job, so I was like, peace out, bitches.
I'm out. I like it.
I was done. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. Can I leave?
And they said yes.
Well, my boss wasn't there, so I pretty much took matters into my own hands.
So then who did you ask?
I was going to say, you just said that into
the
air?
I made a general announcement to the rest of the staff members.
In question form.
Right. Hey, y'all, is it okay if I leave?
Yeah.
They'll say, all right, I'm out of here.
By your silence, I'm assuming you mean yes. So, bye.
Now, there's no Abigail downstairs.
There's not.
Which I'm relieved because I sold her play table today.
I did see that.
You did.
Well, congratulations.
We're Craigslisting everything now. Our yard sale at the studio didn't go as well as planned. So now we're just we're Craigslisting everything. So $20 towards Australia. Everybody,
you sold that table for $20.
Yeah,
isn't that unbelievable? I would have bought it for more than that.
He came in for $25, asked if I'd take $20, and I looked him in the eye and I said,
"Sir, you have a hard bargain."
So $20 towards Australia, but then you know I had to clean it off. It has like cubby holes underneath, and it's full of Abby shit,
it's full of toys,
like not duty, but like her shit. Like
I would have loved it if that's where Sam was putting the dirty diapers.
Yeah, the old diapers.
And labeling them Monday.
Yeah. I always thought it was the stale beer smell, but no, it's Abby shit.
No, it's poo.
Yeah, no, it's like coloring books and farm animals.
And then, yeah, her little silo toy thing.
Yeah, so I literally just took it on its end and shook all the stuff out of it.
And then sold
it for $20. But then I did feel bad for a moment because I thought, well, now she's just going to roll around on the dirty floor.
No, Sam's working out of town, so she stayed with Grandma.
So she's
today.
In the closet? Oh, okay.
I left her in my trunk. That's okay. It's not that hot outside. So
no, she's fine.
Yeah, one of the taillights is missing, so there's airflow.
Yeah, right. No. No, she's with her grandma. She's safe.
Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Well, then I don't feel so bad. Yeah, everything down there, I'm hoping it starts to go. You guys might come in next week and see a whole flurry of empty space is the goal, anyway.
Nice.
BYO chair.
Yeah. Well, some of these chairs I would sell too, because we're getting some new chairs for the new studio. So there may be a show or two we have to do. You know, standing, Tasty.
We'll make it a lot shorter.
Yeah.
For me. Right. I got to go.
Yeah. We'll have more energy too.
Yeah.
When you stand up, you know?
Well, actually, if I thought about it today, I didn't realize until I was looking at the calendar, but next week is our last show from Studio Double D.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
That's it. Because whether the bar's done or not, I am not paying rent here for another month. So we're either doing shows from the new place, finished or not, come June, or we're having to do remote broadcasts in June. So it's not that there won't be any shows. We just, that's it for here. I'm tearing down the studio basically next Tuesday.
Wow.
So hopefully by the time you guys come in, it'll be pretty empty. Otherwise, we've got more shit to move. And nowhere to move it.
Nowhere to move it. Just out to the sidewalk would probably work. Downtown Martinez.
I might do that.
Yeah,
we attempted that during the garage sale.
Yeah.
Well, you just don't bring it back inside.
Oh, right.
At the end.
Oh, look, it's a new antique store.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What we need to do is just to find some Martian to let us hold the yard sale in their yard.
Yeah.
It'd be a conventional yard sale and all these.
That's true.
Maniacs will show up and
take Not a bad idea, Tasty. Yeah. There's a few things. There's couches and bookcases.
People want to know. I'm just getting texted from Roberto, our buddy that runs HopTech.
Yeah.
And he is asking me what's left from the yard sale. Everything, Roberto.
The yard sale.
It's
the
all
yard,
left. Yeah.
Now, silent auction items, those are going to go on a BN eBay page. So I won't be, I'm not Craigslisting silent auction stuff like the kegerator, the urinal tap handle.
Peter Munoz really wants the urinal.
I know. He's waiting to hear but don't worry. Nobody else has bid on it, Peter. So you're still in good shape. I need to put it up on eBay.
Yeah. Cool.
There's a box of really good beer that's both from our personal stashes plus from Brewcasters. A few things like that. But anything that's like, you know, furniture and stuff, Craigslist. It's all going. So enjoy the next couple shows, because after this, it's going to be an audio nightmare. I'm going to be a mess. Even in the new studio, every little noise. We discovered today, I didn't really discover it. It's finally registered to me today.
Yeah.
You know, in our new location for the Hop Grenade, we share a wall with EJ Fair. We're literally next door to them. The studio is in the back, and in the wall of the studio, the one that would essentially be right next to my left ear and your right ear, JP.
Okay.
Is the toilet plumbing from EJ Fair.
Oh, that's amazing.
Great. It's 8 inches
that's
away.
That's unfortunate.
It's on the other side of the wall.
It's in the wall.
I have this nice foam hanging up in here. Maybe we shouldn't sell this.
And I'm in there today, and it...
So you can hear every duty, every turd, and every drop of urine.
Now, we're insulating it and putting up two layers of sound drywall.
Mm-hmm. Quiet rock.
Quiet rock. But still... That flushed, and I looked right over at Scott, and I was like, whatever face this is now, you know, multiply that by 50 if we're on the show, and I have to hear that fucking toilet every time it flushes.
Yeah, I thought the train was bad.
You'll still hear
it. It could be so quiet, you're just going to dial into it.
Can you imagine how
great is it going to be the night that they have, like, open tap night, and somebody gets just totally drunk and is puking in there?
But as the electrician pointed out, it might work well for the radio show. And I said, you're right. Although the listeners don't like the soundboard. So it's a soundboard that we can't get rid of.
Right.
And then also stick to electricity.
Yeah.
Please.
Yes.
You're better at that.
So.
Great. That'll be a great prank to pull on us. Go over there and keep flushing that toilet on there.
Yeah. If EJ wants to get back at me for anything.
Explosive number threes.
Just standing there pushing the flush button for 3 hours.
Curse my water bill. I don't care. Fuck you, Justin.
I swear, if I can hear that through the wall, I'm going to lose it.
There's no way.
Of course you're going
Come on,
to.
I bet
you will.
There's no way.
There. Yeah.
No, it will not.
Pipes are pipes. I mean,
I don't see how there's a way I can't. Can we triple rock that wall?
Triple rock.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
They'll probably sue you for copyright infringement.
You'd have to quadruple it.
Right.
All right. Well,
can you imagine? Why is that one wall thicker than the other?
And then double rock, and then
that's what it is.
Paint or whatever.
Yeah,
that's what's going
up
there.
You shouldn't be able to hear it.
Yeah, you will not. You'll be fine.
I don't know, man.
You should just cut into the wall and cap off his plumbing.
Dear God. You know,
it's open right now. I can go to their plumbing tonight and fix this fucking problem.
For our safety, I hope you can't hear it, but just for sheer entertainment, God, I hope we're all sitting there and you just hear a flush and just go completely ballistic.
When are we moving again?
I would lose it. The amount of time and energy we're putting into that. So the Hop Grenade's still looking to open in June. Right now, we're hoping for the first weekend in June. It's looking to be on track, finally, for that weekend, but you just never know. So we're not doing some big, giant, planned grand opening tasty. Because you never know.
Because they're going to go to Lagunitas Circus on the 8th.
That's fine.
Exactly. That's why.
And, that's why we're doing it. No, because I can't plan. Like, we don't know until the day before we open if we're allowed to open. ABC is, like, our final inspection. So here's what I recommend you do. You can go over to Twitter and sign up with The Hop Grenade. You can go to Facebook.com/TheHopGrenade. And as soon as they say yes and we open our doors, we're literally just going to tell everybody that we're open. And then we'll do kind of a big grand opening in a month or so where we actually do a bunch of shows and invite our brewer friends out and do the whole thing. So we're just going to, I mean, I'm sure we're going to be full even, just saying, hey, we're open.
Oh, yeah.
But we're not doing some big grand opening. But
yet.
To find out if you want to be there on opening weekend, you should sign up for our social network things. And then we'll let you know what's happening. All right. On tonight's show, we're talking to the maker, the filmmaker of the Michigan Beer film.
Yes, we are.
Which I watched over the weekend. And a fascinating story. Michigan Beer, a lot of growth out there. And, of course, we're going to Michigan for the National Homebrewers Conference this year. Beardy, are you going?
That's a great question.
You're not sure?
If there's a way for me to go, I'll go.
Then you would go.
But yes.
So far, you've not planned to go.
Correct.
Okay. Are you looking at me like I have to find a way for you to go?
Because if you have a way for me to go,
yeah,
I'll go.
I don't think I have a way
for
you to go.
Or if there's anybody else who has a way for me to go.
Okay. Well, you could put it out there.
You could always buy a plane ticket, and then you could buy a conference pass. And then you could go. Yeah.
And then you could go.
So,
are you sure?
What's the problem with that plan?
You could probably sneak in. You could hide in your own beard.
What's that beard standing in the corner?
It's just a beard.
Maybe you can
let it in.
Wouldn't that be everybody's reaction? I don't know. Let it in. Just a suggestion.
That just might work.
All right. So we're talking to Michigan Beer Film people today. Hang in there. We're also going to get a little information on a collaboration. It's kind of a get ready for Michigan show. Tasty and Nathan are doing a collaboration beer with our friend Mills over at Crankers Brewery in Michigan. And so we're going to talk to Mills and Nathan and Tasty about that project. And that beer will be available, I believe, both at NHC, but more importantly, at BNA 9.
Nice.
Which is happening Thursday night, which is June 12th, I feel like? That's a 12th.
It is June 12th.
There we go.
Indeed.
Thursday, June 12th. Instead of Pro Night this year, we are Pro Night. So the doors close at NHC at about 7:30 p.m. right after the welcome reception. If you've bought yourself a ticket to BNA 9, you walk right outside, get on a bus. We take you the 10-minute drive to 5th 3rd Ballpark, where we've rented the entire ballpark, and we got a lot planned. The whole thing brought to you by our good friends at Hop Tech Homebrew Supplies and Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. They'll both be on hand also, handing out wares and hanging out with you, and they're sponsoring our BNA 9 party.
Nice.
Which I could not be more excited about.
Yes.
So, about this kickball game.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I don't have to do that, right?
Yes, you do.
You do.
You're the star of the show.
But wait, didn't we talk about this? Like, you've seen me run.
Yeah.
We did talk.
You have a designated runner.
You're actually our designated runner.
First of all, gross.
You're the pinch runner.
That's definitely not going to happen.
You're the pinch runner. Yeah.
Pinch runner. You're
the pinch runner.
That's where you run around and pinch everybody.
I run like a retarded duck.
Yep. You're the pinch runner for everybody. So, remember how you have, like, ghost on second, yes, ghost on third, so none of us will be on base. It's
you
always
guys are
a ghost.
Beav on
first and third.
And I'm just going to get drunk and just...
Yeah. Nope, that's in the plan, too.
Yeah.
That's also mandatory. And JP's had a lot of great ideas about this kickball game, and I think the idea is it's the brewcasters, and then I don't think we cover all positions, so we're going to round it out with some of our sponsors who'd like to participate in the game. So it's BN staff and sponsors versus the listeners in like a two-inning kickball game.
No, seven. It's got to go seven.
There's no way we will get it. It'll take the whole time.
No, you're joking.
Well, those More Beer guys, they could join our team. They're good at it. They have an organized team.
Oh, they have a team, do they? Okay.
Ringers.
All right. Well, we have to bring in some ringers. Because let's face it, we're most aside from maybe Scott, the rest of us don't even move. Like he plays hockey and stuff.
Yeah, but he plays in the same like 4 foot
There we go.
Okay, he's the goalie.
Right. And so let's not.
So he start. They just barely the shifts.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, my equipment's so big, I don't even have to move at all.
I didn't think about it that way. Of course, now don't worry, Tasty, because I do fear your imminent death.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt myself.
I think you're our first base coach.
Oh, coach. Okay. So,
yeah. Ump. He's the home plate.
Is that where
player.
The keg will be? Because I want to be near the beer.
Yeah, we'll put a beer out there for you. Don't worry. Anything you want, Tasty.
All right, great.
So
maybe Tasty wouldn't be dying if he wasn't standing next to a keg all the time.
Right. That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
That sounds wrong.
It does sound wrong.
Yeah. My doctor mentioned something like that.
Yeah. You need a new doctor. All right. So you can go get your tickets right now at thebrewingnetwork.com/BNA9. There are tickets left, and I encourage you to do so. There's not a whole lot else happening that night. You can go downtown and do other things, but we'll take care of it all for you. There's food and beer included in the and transportation, all for $50. So so do it. Go to thebrewingnetwork.com/BNA9. Other on-field activities, I think I'm ordering the sumo wrestling fat suits.
Are you really?
Yeah, you know, because I want activities. Like, I want people to be kids again, and we have a ballpark. Let's go play, right?
Again, you've seen our listeners, right?
Well, I'm trying to think of activities that we could do where we're suits not going to get hurt. Yeah. And so at least in the sumo, you're in a big fat suit, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're bouncing off each other, but you're in a fat suit. It's cushioned all the way around.
You want to climb into a suit that smells like sweat and ass?
Who cares?
Yes, I do.
It's going to be fun. And then I don't want to tell you all the games, but there's a lot of games that we're doing. And a little home run derby out there.
That
it's going to be fun.
Pretty fun.
Yeah. All right. BrewingNetwork.com/BNA9. Check it out. It's Thursday night, June 12th. We've got a new shirt design available. If you haven't seen that, you can go to, CodisDesign.com/WeWantBeer. CodisDesign.com/WeWantBeer. Or it's up on our Facebook page. Put it on Twitter, will you, JP?
I can do that.
Tonight? It's a kind of a throwback shirt. It's got the old Prohibition guys, the We Want Beer guys, like the ones trying to end Prohibition. And it says We Want Beer, and there's a little hop grenade flag on there. They're pretty cool. Available for a limited time only for another week or two. So go order yours now, please. And then you can wear it at BNA9. It'll be fun. Everyone will have fun.
I love that old photo. It must have been right smack in the middle of Prohibition, right? And I just love how people used to handle that sort of stuff, right? Like, these guys had, like, three-piece suits on, you know, and, like, polished shoes, and their signs, very neat typeface, We Want Beer. I mean, if that took place today, it would be like some guy with a handlebar mustache in a tank top. Want would be spelled incorrectly. He'd be missing a couple of teeth, you know.
So we're all stupid and ghetto now.
Something went very wrong. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, they were respectable protesters. I see what you mean. Well, you can wear it on a shirt now. We're taking all that respect and putting it into a T-shirt. CodisDesign.com/WeWantBeer. Only available for a limited time. You can also support us by shopping over at Amazon. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage, and we get a little piece of the action. Do we have an Amazon product of the week?
Sure. It is Spiritual Midwifery. It's a paperback book by Ina May Gaskin. Here's the fourth edition of the classic book on home birth that introduced a whole generation of women to the concept of natural childbirth. Yeah.
Wow.
Is there something wrong with a hospital? Didn't a lot of women used to die giving birth just at their houses?
Yeah, I think a lot of women die in hospitals, too.
Did they?
That's the idea. There's, like, a lot of different ways, too. Isn't there, like, a underwater birth, too? Mm-hmm. You can do it, like, in a bathtub?
You can do it in a tub.
I don't see the point.
It's called a water birth. It's supposed to be a better transition for the child because they go from a water to water.
But they have to come out of
but
the water.
But they have to come out of the water.
I've never understood that. Just delays the transition.
By what? Like a second? You're like, hey, just trying to help your brother out.
Dude, right. I don't know.
You get a couple more seconds.
I had my child in a hospital with drugs.
With drugs. Yeah.
Did you look into any of these other options?
I did, actually. I had, a midwife did deliver Abby. Mm. Wasn't a doctor.
Oh.
But that's Kaiser employees. Midwife.
It's just because Kaiser's cheap.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, so they have a doctor come through afterwards and, like, look over everything and make sure you're not going to die.
Okay.
But the midwife does all the work. The midwife and the nurse does all the work, at least there. I read a couple books. one on husband-coached childbirth, which was a total failure.
And the other one the called Bradley Birthing Method. For Dummies.
I should have read Birthing for Dummies.
Wait, does that mean Sam's in the room, like, cheering you along? Or
yeah, basically, not, like, cheering me along, but, like, getting you through the hard part.
Telling you to breathe. And
I was like,
has Sam ever gotten you through the
You need to leave me
part?
Alone.
You had to read
you
the
need
book
to go find that doctor.
You
and
do
you
it?
Need to get me that epidural.
Oh, but Bevo, I'm right here. I can help. Yeah. Hey, let me help. Yeah. I'll grab it.
I found this
when
needle on the ground.
When we get to that point where I don't feel this anymore, then we can talk.
Oh, but I'm holding your hand.
Until then, you need to get to Steppen.
I don't understand what the problem is. I threw the garbage out today.
Hey, if you can't feel, is it a good time to ask for anal?
Ew.
You got the stirrups already.
And, oh!
Well, the book was $13.85, and the BN got $1.04. So thank you, and good luck with the childbirth.
All right. Let me get through these last couple ones. We got to get to some callers real quick, too. Subscribe and join the BN Army. That's just by becoming a recurring donor. Hit the donate button on our homepage. When you become a recurring donor, you're entered to win the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, which is $100 that we give away each month to one lucky donor. Jared was our April winner. Jared, you will receive an email. I don't like to give everybody's last name on the air. So if you're a Jared out there and you have not received an email from both the Brewing Network and More Beer, you did not win. I promise. So I don't need a flood of emails from guys named Jared. Did I win? We will contact you, I promise.
What about that guy from feedback last week who was wondering what he gets if he donates, whose name isn't Jared? Did he win?
He did not win either. I don't need another email about that either. You will definitely be contacted not only once, but twice if you win the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway. Congratulations, Jared, and thank you for being a donor. Get these updates and more over on Twitter and PayPal. Send your show ideas to Scott the Jew. That's scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. And send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Okay. So we got the guys from Fast Rack on the line because they were giving away. Beardy, this is how you could have gotten into NHC.
Yes.
If you had you entered the Fast Rack challenge.
Warren's not fast at anything.
That is
no
true.
One told me about it.
Well, you're too late now because they're here to announce the winner, the folks from Fast Rack. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, are you guys? Great to be here.
Thanks for being on the program. And, of course, we've been promoting your giveaway. Give us the rundown real quick. What were people doing for a chance to win tickets to NHC?
We have been hosting Fast Rack Speed Challenges all over North America. We've had about close to 100 happen this year. It only started about 3-4 months ago.
Okay.
We got connected with some tickets for the National Homebrew Conference in Grand Rapids coming up.
Yep.
We're about a month away right now. So we've been setting up these small mini Fast Rack Speed Challenge events all over with help from American Homebrew Association clubs as well as some of our retail partners. And we've been getting video submissions of the fastest times on the Fast Rack. The videos have been great. Tons of fun. We've had, I don't know how many came in.
About 7,500.
Wow.
75.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was the fastest one? Well, like 10 seconds?
Yeah, something like that. It was about 10.
Just over 10.
Yeah, 10.2, actually.
And you say it was open to all of North America. Is Canada still part of North America? Does that still count?
I don't think so.
We're at the top of North America.
You're at the top. There's got to be a cutoff somewhere.
I thought that was Russia.
I think it's just above Toronto. I think we've decided we'll keep Toronto, but everything else...
Their mayor does crack.
We is North America.
Right.
That's what we've decided. Somewhere. All right. Is there a place people can go watch these videos, too, before we announce the winner?
We've had them all over our Facebook channel.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, I want to go see that. That's fun. So what was the win for the best time?
So we're actually going to announce the winners of all the tickets right now.
Excellent.
And we'll give off who they are and also the clubs they represented so you can see who the best clubs are out there. So these ticket winners are winning tickets right now to the National Homebrew Conference in Grand Rapids. It's about a month away. And we're hosting the worldwide championships for the fastest hands.
Excellent.
So these 15 names that we're announcing right now are going to be coming to the National Homebrew Conference compliments of Fast Rack.
Yeah, and they're the 15 fastest times.
Okay, beautiful. That's what I wanted to know. 15 fastest times. And can you announce their times with the name? Do you have that all? I'm just curious.
We do.
We do have that.
Okay, cool.
It must have come down to tenths of a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go, guys. Who are they?
All right, so the first one is Richie Hogle from the 616 Brew Club. His time was 10.2 seconds.
Wow.
Okay, next up, Kyle Arnold from the Chaos Club, and his time was 12.49.
And next up, we have Ken Maracek, and his time was 12.5, and he's from BYOB Brew Club.
Our fourth winner is Mark S. from the Carolina Brewmasters. His time was 13.9.
Okay, and then we have Justin Cox from Star City.
Yeah.
And his time was 13.99.
And next up, we have Kevin Cabell, also from Star City, and his time was 14.23.
Our next one up is Michael Lawrence. He's from the Alien Brew Club as well. His time was 14.36.
Okay, and then we have Nancy Rockwood from the Chaos Club, and her time was 14.5.
And next, we got Natalie DeChico, who we know really well, who was killing it from the Aliens Brew Club, and she got 14.5.
Our next one up is Phil Lemke from Vintner's Circle. His time just came in. It's 14.72.
Okay. And we've got Bill Sanson from the Chaos Club again, and his time was 14.75.
And next up, we got Ian B. from East of Elon Club, and his time was 14.76.
Next up, this one we don't have a last name for, but his name is Rob. He's from the Carolina Brewmasters, and his time was 14.8.
And then Steve Capelli from Aliens Brew Club, and his time was 14.96.
And last but not least was Jason Halverson from the Prairie Homebrew Companions, and his time was 15 seconds flat.
Excellent.
Nice.
That's
nice.
A lot of winners.
There you have it.
Those are our 15 winners.
We're hoping that the winners can reach out to us, and we're going to do our very best to reach out to everyone, all those names, and we're looking forward to the big championship in about a month here.
All right. We're looking forward to it as well. We'll see it at NHC and see who the fastest fast racker is. It's exciting. All right, guys. Thanks very much.
Right on.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers for fast racking beers.
There you go. All right. Good stuff. Fast rack. I wanted to participate in the challenge.
Oh, you would have not even been close to
those numbers.
Yeah, 10 seconds to beat.
How much beer were they racking?
He was like 2 seconds lower than the guy who came in second.
It's 12, right? It was 12 22-ounce bottles.
And yeah.
It was in their fast rack.
Yeah.
You would have failed too, Beardy. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't worried about it.
Beardy's like, I'll do 13.
Yeah.
One in the beard. All right, I got to get us to break so that we can get to our guest, the Michigan Beer Film Director, Kevin. But first, do we have a Twitter game today?
Yes.
All right, Twitter game is brought to you today by Lalamond. Once again, thanks to Lalamond and Danstar, one lucky brewer will make that dream a reality to attend the World Brewing Academy. Just visit danstaryeast.com and see details to get your entry form and a chance to win a free attendance to the World Beer Academy.
Nice.
Yeah, World Brewing Academy. Thank you to Lalamond. All right, what's our tweet again?
Well, you know, looking at Warren's plethora of beard hairs, it got me thinking that, you know, Tasty, as he gets older in life, he should start looking at other places to live. Okay. You know how a lot of elderly gentlemen, like, they move out, and then they kind of move into, like, Rossmore or Seizure World or these kind of, like, places that care for elderly statesmen such as...
Yeah.
Such as
I don't know why you guys are laughing.
What does my beard have to do with this?
Yeah.
Well,
I had a seizure today.
Duty pants See? Land.
There you go. Yeah. My 91-year-old grandma goes, yeah, I live in Seizure World. All right.
Your grandma's as funny as you are.
Yeah.
That's rad.
What? So in my game, Tasty has decided to move into Warren's beard to save money. Okay. Because it's a structure that would be around a long period of time.
Yeah.
On acid.
We'll provide him... I might actually be on acid. We'll provide him with the shelter that he would need with his frail state.
Okay.
And insulated nicely, too.
It is very well insulated.
Retains warmth and, you know.
So I just want to know what everyone thinks he would spend his newfound wealth on, because you know, as he removes his living expenses from his home into the beard, which clearly has no living expenses, there's a little bit of freedom in the pocket.
So where will Tasty spend his fortunes once he doesn't have to pay rent?
More spendable money. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You know, it's a terrible game when it took me 5 minutes to explain.
Yeah, it's a long setup.
I was waiting for what the game. I'm like, yeah, okay. So you've decided on the beard,
right? Yeah.
What's next? What is left?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's our Twitter game. Just
they can't all be winners, all right?
Just tweet us.
Tweet us anything.
Right.
And that's how
we'll
do it. The
story exceeded the story.
It did, didn't it?
All right.
That's all right.
I feel like I had something to do before the break.
Feedback?
But,
you want to save it?
Yeah, I don't think we have time. We'll do feedback at the end. That's what we'll do. I just need to make sure I got through Twitter game. All right. So why don't we do this? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kevin from the Michigan Beer Film, find out more about Michigan, where we're going for NHC, and the growing craft beer scene in Michigan. So hang in there. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, 2 blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood,
made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
The biggest innovation in brewer's yeast in 125 years. Is here.
Yeast that has never been exposed to the environment.
See it for yourself at NHC in Grand Rapids.
Pure yeast fermentation.
White Labs.
things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and brewing brother Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
The Session.
Brewing up our next batch of radio gold.
Right now.
Yes, welcome back to the program. Thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it very much. Before we move any further, don't forget to go to homebrewstuff.com right now. You can check them out. It's gear up for summer over at homebrewstuff.com, and you can upgrade to kegs. All sorts of kegging upgrade equipment to choose from over there, and I recommend that you do this because bottling sucks.
I wonder what percentage of our audience is only bottling.
Is only bottling. I feel like it has moved to kegging. In large numbers.
How could it not?
Yeah, in part because how could it not? And in part because we're so lazy, we talk about it all the time. Like, you have to go to kegs. We've been doing that for 9 years. But it's still an expense incurred. So when deals come up, you gotta jump on them. So go to homebrewstuff.com right now and check it out. All right, we've got Kevin Romeo. He's the director and filmmaker of the Michigan Beer Film on with us now. Of course, we're going to Michigan for the National Homebrewers Conference next month, so I thought it'd be nice to feature a little history of the beer over there. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. Can you guys hear me well?
I can hear you great. Thanks for being on the program.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
So you got a whole room full of people here, Kevin, so it's not just voices in your head if you hear several questions coming your way, just so you know.
No problem.
Oh, yeah. I sent him the boilerplate.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, headshots with descriptions.
Oh, you do headshots too?
Absolutely, and I'm still waiting on the guest who's savvy enough to you know, make some pass at Bevo, because I noticed the phone screen. That's what I would do, right?
Sure.
If I was on some other show, I would look for some in.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's because you're a creep. I'm not sure that would get you in.
Are you not a creep, Kevin? Can you not come up with something
Wait,
like that?
Wait, you have a picture of me? Can I please check this out?
It's a good one,
can
Bevo.
I screen this?
It's good. It was from when you did that striptease.
Awesome.
You guys,
I like that
you
we're talking about
creepy
that.
Enough to me, so I Thank don't need you. To add to that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's good enough. So give us a bit of history about you, Kevin, before we talk about the film. Because how did you get into making documentaries?
So my internet signal's kind of decent, so I'm hoping that I can hear everything you say, but I think you said, how would I get into making the film about beer, basically? And
that'll do, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So basically, it came about because I've always been a big craft beer fan, and a lot of people want to make a film about things they're excited about, and a lot of people are excited about beer, as you guys know. For me, really, it just kind of came down to creating something that was exciting for beer fans that they could absorb, and also people that are into independent film as well. So kind of blurred that line between just something for beer people and something for film people. Really, it was about just trying to create something great, I guess, that supported beer and the state of Michigan.
And you're from Michigan, I assume.
That's correct.
Yeah. Born and raised there?
Absolutely.
Okay. So something I learned, I learned a few things watching the movie, and something I learned is that I think there's a unique perspective in Michigan of why maybe you felt a Michigan beer film was necessary, and it's not just the rise of craft beer, because that's happening everywhere, right? But
right.
I got the sense that Michigan loves Michigan. And I mean that in the sense that, like, you guys are proud to of where you're from and the state and what the state has to offer. Like, you got, I just got the feeling from all of the interviews, Michigan really loves Michigan.
And not just the interviews, too. There's a scene from a beer festival where the entire crowd of thousands of people, they are, Michigan.
Drink Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Again, they're chanting Michigan. Kevin, that does not happen in California or anywhere else, as far as I know.
I wonder if it's because people in Michigan are the only ones who know where Michigan is.
Yeah, that could be.
Now, but tell me about that. There seems to be a sense of pride.
Well, honestly, I think it's because, you know, and the longer you're in a culture, you know, the less aware you are of it. So I'm just a Michigan guy. I tend to think I have a decent idea of how the world works and how other people might perceive us. But from my perspective, the way it seems is that Michigan gets a lot of, you know, every time there's a top 10 list thrown out of the worst cities in America, there's at least two of them from Michigan on the list.
Right. Try living near Oakland, bro. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So basically, I think there's a lot of pride because a lot of people look down on Michigan, or they only know the bad things. They only know what the auto industry is, you know, how the auto industry has collapsed. And I think it's just a thing that people are grabbing hold of and running with all their might because they've been downsized, they've been outsourced, they lost their job. So there's a ton of like entrepreneurial energy behind it.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what you're seeing.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And in fact, that's a pretty good perspective on it. Yeah. If a place is getting a lot of bad press, but the people of the place actually feel differently, it's a good time to glom onto something and run with it.
Absolutely.
Now, so I was there. I went to Grand Rapids just a few weeks ago to check on our site for our anniversary party we're doing out there. So it was cool for me to see some of the breweries that I had gone to in the film. So, of course, I went to Founders, which is right there. And that's a beautiful facility, too.
Holy smokes, man. The renovation they just did is insane. I hadn't been there until about a week ago, and I was blown away by how impressive it was.
Yeah, I'll be hanging out there during the Homebrewers Conference, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And then you featured just briefly a couple other places. I saw you put the Hop Cat in there and Grand Rapids Brewing Company, which I think is pretty new.
Yep.
You know, you kind of see those places in there. But the reason I sort of bring this up, the places that I saw like Founders, is in your movie, you're not really focusing on the bigger guys like Bell's and Founders. You're focusing more on the smaller guys coming into the market.
Yep.
Why'd you do it that way?
I think I did it that way primarily because everyone expected me to focus on Founders and Bell's. And I'm just wired that way. I like to do what the opposite of what's probably expected of me. If I say I'm going to make a film about beer, I know that there's about three or four things that people are going to assume right away. And those things are quick to come to mind. And I want to avoid those things. And not just because I'm rebellious, but because I think, well, I don't want to make what everyone thinks I'm going to make, because that's going to be boring and received as status quo. So for me, it made more sense anyway to talk about the ones that are more in that risky phase of business development, and the ones that may not make it. And that kind of makes it a little bit more of a story to learn about, rather than, you know, with all due respect to Founders and Bell's, and, you know, even, you know, we talked to Shorts, we talked to New Holland, but those younger guys are the ones that you don't know if they're going to make it or not yet. And I find that more interesting. And you get more, they're a lot easier to get into, and they're much more welcoming of the, you know, they don't have a person screening. You know, they don't have as many media requests. So for me, right, making friendships with a younger brewery is much easier than trying to get in the door with a Founders or a Bell's.
That makes sense. Well, I appreciated the decision. I got to learn about some breweries I didn't know about. And in terms of, you know, in listening to your answer where you mentioned it's interesting to showcase people that may or may not make it, and it's a more interesting story. Also focus on a hop farm out there, a couple hop farms really, but one in particular. And there's a moment where you're in the movie where you're talking to the two proprietors of the hop farm, and they're talking about how they're at a point now where they can no longer be afraid; they just have to go for it. Yet, I feel like what you captured is that they're fucking scared to death.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they're saying it out loud. And I don't mean this negatively about them. By the way, I think my company is still in that zone.
What a bunch of pussies.
Where they're saying it out loud because they're correct that they don't have a choice but to just keep going forward with the hops. But you can see in their faces that they're still terrified. Is this thing actually going to... Is this dream of ours really going to work out? And I really liked the moment.
Hey, man, I think you're the first person that's ever said that, so I really appreciate it. I kind of felt that same way, but no one's ever really said that, so kudos to you.
Well, I just... What I like about your movie is that you are dealing with personalities and you're dealing with real people. There's not really a point in the film where I feel like I'm being marketed to by any of the people that you're interviewing. And right. I think that those two hop farmers are the epitome of that because there is zero marketing going on with those two. They're literally just talking about how they've laid it all on the line for the chance to support something that they love, craft beer, by doing something that they love, agriculture.
Yep.
But they look terrified. Really, and rightly so. I would be too. You know.
Yeah. No. I mean, those guys are great. They've borrowed a lot of money, though. I mean, they've really stuck their necks out there, and it's kind of like it's easy from a far off perspective to look at that and to go, well, good luck, guys. But those are real people. They're good people, and they're really strong members of the craft beer community in Southwest Michigan. Like, I really care about them, and it's like I'm scared for them. I hope the best for them, and they are doing well. I mean, they've really caught a lot of wind in their sales. Chicago craft beer market's really kind of picked up on their brand, and that's been really good. So I'm excited about them. I wanted to say, though, that you mentioned no one seemed like they were promoting anything or marketing themselves, and there's a good reason for that. It's one, because if anyone seemed like they wanted to promote themselves via the film, I didn't talk to them.
Good.
And then if we went to someone and interviewed them and it came off too promotional or too, you know, self-promoting, I just didn't put it in the film because I didn't want that in the film. So I appreciate that you say that too.
Yeah, that's a smart move. And the vibe of the film is much more organic than that. So you made smart decisions sticking to your guns in that sense.
Appreciate it.
There's a lot to talk about in the film, but I think most of people should just go check it out and get it. Just real quick, where can people go either download or order the DVD?
Well, touchy subject. A lot of people ask me for a digital download, and we don't have it yet. The reason being is that if you want to get your film on Netflix or if you want to get it on iTunes, you have to set up with an encoding firm, and they have to distribute your film digitally. And basically, the bottom line is I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Lately, my company does film production and video and marketing materials, and then we do stuff like the Michigan Beer Film. I'm too busy to try and set that up. So what we have is a plentiful amount of DVDs via our website, which is mibeerfilm.com, and we sell a pretty good amount there, but we don't have a digital version.
Okay.
So, yeah.
MIBeerFilm.com, folks. Go check it out. Especially if you're going to NHC, if you're going to join us at the Homebrew Conference and at our party. Check out the film because it gives you a little background about the state that you're going to. I wanted to point out, so I learned about this when I was in Grand Rapids and then I saw it in your movie. The Winter Beer Festival.
Yep.
It's held in Grand Rapids every year. And 6,000 people attend it. And now, our winter beer festival is in California in January, and it's been 70 degrees every day, every year for the last 3 years.
And six people join it.
Their winter beer festival, it's fascinating to me for two reasons.
It's a winter beer festival.
It's hella cold, right?
It's actually in the winter.
Yeah.
It's held outdoors.
Yes.
It is not in a beer hall. It's outdoors. And it's at Fifth Third Ballpark, where we're having our anniversary party.
Oh, is that right? I couldn't tell through the blizzard.
Yeah, it's not the same. So I just found it to be a nice coincidence. But you went to that, obviously, because there is footage of the Winter Beer Festival.
Right? Yeah.
You people are insane.
Yeah.
No, well, here's the thing. That festival is such a... People are so geeked about that thing. I don't know the numbers for this year, but I couldn't even get a press pass for this year. Like, we made the film, debuted the film. It was received tremendously, and they wouldn't even give me a press pass. That's how intense they are about the festival. And I went, well, forget it. I'm not going then. But
yeah, yeah.
The place is tremendous. Everyone, I mean, here in Michigan, the wintertime, it's all about bundling up in your Carhartt overalls, stocking cap, and wearing something crazy, and just drinking whatever beers you've never tried
right.
from whatever brewery you've never visited. And it honestly, it's a blast to drink beer out in the cold and the snow.
It sounds like that's what I imagine every day in Michigan is like. Just bundled up in Carhartt, drinking whatever you want to drink.
How is it different from day-to-day life, Kevin?
No, it's not.
The hardest part is when you have to pee, and you're all bundled
right.
up with the Carhartt
that's
and
what
the
I'm
Long
thinking
Johns
too.
And everything else.
Actually, the way that Kevin describes it is the best way I can see myself doing it, is that you are standing out there with your brethren, with your beer friends. You're all freezing your ass off. It's kind of an experience, right?
Absolutely, man. And it's all about, if you've been there before, it's a lot of fun. If it's your first time, you probably messed up by wearing, you know, boots that can't support the wetness, so your feet are probably soaked and freezing.
Yeah.
You know, having the pretzel necklaces and the cheese sticks are on your neck and spacing out how much beer you're consuming and
sure.
all that. So it's a blast, though.
It does look like fun.
I wonder, did the attendees go to bite the pretzel necklace about 2 hours into the fest and break their tooth on it, frozen over?
Yeah. Bite off their finger. They don't know it.
That's a good question.
Well, it does look like fun. Let me ask you this. Now, you mentioned that you couldn't even get a press pass to it, which is funny to me because, like, we give a press pass to every idiot with a blog when we do our winter. We're like, oh, okay, I guess we're supposed to give you tickets.
I'll be there.
Kevin, I'm an idiot and I have a blog.
Kevin, you are in. But so that festival is put on, in my understanding, by the Michigan Brewers Guild. I would think that the Michigan Brewers Guild was pretty supportive of your film. Was that not the case?
No, they were not that supportive. I can't say I don't know. It's hard to explain. They weren't not supportive. I think they may have posted on Facebook once about the film.
Okay.
So if you call that supportive, that's supportive. But other than that, I don't know exactly why. I have my theories. I think it's primarily because the Brewers Guild's really busy. They're handling a lot of growth. And I think that they've been burned by a lot of people that say they're going to make this cool film about Michigan beer,
right?
Blah, blah, blah. And when I first approached them, they came out right and said, hey, that's really cool that you're going to do that, but I'm just going to tell you straight up, a lot of people have said they're going to do that, and they've basically drank a bunch of our beer at all these festivals and never produced anything from it. So
right.
don't expect a lot of support. And they were true to their word on that. And so
right. They meant what they said. So I can see both sides of that. And by the way, I relate to you where you're struggling with saying that they're not supportive. I think that happens to us a lot, where it's not that anybody has told us no, or they didn't say they didn't like what we were doing. It's not like they outwardly said, no, the Brewing Network shouldn't be doing that. It just boggles my mind sometimes that they don't outwardly promote whatever it is we're helping them do. And right. I always then wonder, like, well, I just don't get it. Why I'm helping them promote this whole scene. So I understand your trepidation there to say, well, I don't know, they did a link, so I guess that's okay.
Well, and it makes sense based on what he's saying. Like, if they've actually been burned many times by people taking advantage, but then once it's made, you would think they would go, oh, okay, well,
correct.
Here's the product, and now we're on board. But did they not do that either?
No, they didn't. And my further theory on that, I guess, if I can just speak candidly, which I will, is I think once they told me no, it just becomes a pride thing at that point, and they don't want to, like, go back and say, hey, you know what? You really did it. Good job. We're going to support you now. I think they just never really turned that corner, and I'm not upset at them about it.
Yeah.
But I just, from the get-go, went, hey, the Brewers Guild's not supportive of what I'm doing, but pretty much everyone else that I've, you know, everyone else in the industry has been so far.
Sure.
So I'm just going to go forward with it. So, yeah, hasn't been a big deal.
I guess ultimately, if the breweries that make up the guild are the ones supporting you, and that's the message you're getting out, then that's really all that matters anyway. I mean, I don't know about Michigan, but here, your average beer consumer doesn't know about the guild that all the breweries make up. They just know about the breweries. They go to the beer festival because the brewery's going to be there, not because the SF Brewers Guild did it. You know,
right?
So it's more of an internal communication, anyhow. Yep. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Give us the website once more. People can go grab the DVD. I just want to make sure we
absolutely.
Get it out
there. Yep. It's mibeerfilm.com.
Okay, cool. Now, let's talk about what I perceive to be your main character anyway, and there's a couple in there, but Greenbush Brewing.
Yep.
Which seems to have found tremendous success in a very short time. I mean, from what I gathered, they'd only been around for 2 years, yet you were showing us them doing these pretty massive upgrades to their brewing equipment.
Yeah. So basically the backstory on Greenbush is, and we didn't get to go into it as much as I wanted in the film, but Scott is the founder and creative brain behind Greenbush. And he was friends with my father-in-law, and my father-in-law a few years ago he'd have like a bottle homebrew in his fridge, and he'd say, "Man, you got to check out Scott's beer. He's doing tremendous stuff." And I didn't really even know who Scott was at that time, but he was just a guy who he was telling me about. And Scott had, Scott was always that guy who was really intelligent, had a lot of different jobs, but he just never really found his niche. He was always really into baking and making sausage and like cooking and all this stuff. He was just a culinary guy and a culinary mind. And then he was working carpentry work for a while, but he had an accident with a saw. You know, severed part of his finger, was laid off work, and in that time he couldn't pay any of his bills. Him and his family went bankrupt. Had to give up their home, foreclosure, move from their house in Chicago back to Southeast Michigan. And while he was there, he was living with his parents with three little kids and his wife in their, you know, attic. And he just started brewing, kind of found his thing and went at it with an intensity that only people that have suffered and know what it's like to be kind of down and out, only those people understand that motivation. So
right.
His story to me resonates, and he's a brilliant guy, and it's just really cool to see him hit his stride. And that the brewery of Greenbush is in a town that is literally, it's nothing. It's there's not even a stoplight. There's not even a four way. It's a stop on the highway, but they're making it a true destination. And
wow.
Every single time you go to Greenbush now, there's a 20-minute wait, no matter what. And it's just such an incredible story of kind of a second chance. So, and every time we would go there to shoot, there was always something new happening. So it was a great subject because literally there was visible changes for my camera to witness every time we'd come back. The tap room was expanded, or they were putting in new equipment or cramming something new in. And they were fantastic, letting us shoot whatever and kind of have the run of the place. And I was so thankful for that. So
it's a good story.
Yeah. There's a couple things about it that are fascinating. The first is, can you imagine what it must have been like for the parents who were letting their kid and his wife and kids crash in their, it wasn't an attic, by the way, Kevin, it was the apartment above the garage is how
go.
They described it.
Converted attic.
but can you imagine how they must've felt like on month number four when it was like, okay, you've moved back in here.
Right.
And, now you've lost yourself at the bottom of a carboy. Like, great.
Yeah, now
you're
bring beer
spiraling
all the time.
Out of control, and you're just going to hit rock bottom. But I mean, he really did. He proved everybody wrong. I mean, maybe nobody doubted him because he was such a brilliant guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I am glad that you elaborate on the story a little bit with the finger, because I'm kind of a dick, and so I'm watching the movie, and you don't elaborate too much. He just says like he almost lost his finger and like lost everything, and all I'm thinking is, over a fucking finger? Like, what's this guy's problem? But now it makes sense because he was working with his hands and then he was on disability because of it.
Yeah.
And I'm such a dick because I'm watching going like, what a pussy. Like, it's a finger.
You can still drive a car. What's the problem?
Now I get it.
I heard it and I started laughing just right now.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but, he must have been a real good carpenter.
But imagine Doc lost his finger, right? Like, he literally would lose his job.
Yeah.
He's our one of our co-hosts is a dentist. And so now it makes sense. I don't know. I didn't put two and two together. So I'm watching it just thinking the guy's a sissy.
I thought that too when we made it, but we didn't have any connecting points that really clarified it. So
It makes sense. It was me being a dick. Don't worry. I think that most people who watch it go, okay, clearly he did something with his hands, you know.
Right.
A hand model.
Yeah.
He was a hand model.
Yeah. The other fascinating thing about the guy is how he structures his family with his business, which is he homeschools his kids. And the kids kind of, you know, are in the brewery every day and are sort of learning the beer trade. The 9-year-old knows everything about brewing, and she's like a savant. And it's just such a different way to raise a family. You know, it's entrepreneurship is a priority, and you're teaching your kids a trade, and you know, no public school where everything's just kind of geared toward the same sort of middle ground BS. So I just I love it. Did you have the same thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah, no, that was another reason I really connected with Scott, is just everything he does is thoughtful. And his family's, I mean, his wife's fantastic, and you're right, the kids are all brilliant, and I enjoyed learning. One of the coolest things about getting to do what I do is that you get to kind of get, and you guys can probably relate, but you get to be in other people's worlds for a little bit, and you get to learn from them and see how they do things. And so for me, I definitely resonated with his lifestyle, and I think it'd be awesome if I could, you know, create a business that supports for my family that way. And I think my wife would be on board with that plan if I could, you know, have something so prolific to create that revenue. So
sure. Yeah. All right. Well, check out the film, everybody. It's the Michigan Beer Film, and I encourage you to watch it before going to NHC. Or if you're just a beer geek like we are, I was taking notes during the film. I'm kind of looking through them right now, and one of the notes I made was that this film was made by beer geeks. And I can tell that you guys are as passionate about beer as we are. In other words, you didn't just do, hey, we should cover this craft beer thing. I hear it's getting big. You guys are beer geeks.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Which I think is helpful. Helpful for the message. Are there going to be more of these films?
We're actually... we haven't officially announced it yet. We've done a couple interviews like these where people ask that question, and my response is that we are planning to do another film. We don't know who will feature yet. I don't even know where it'll go. I think there's enough story to tell that we could do kind of a similar idea, but just with different people and a different stamp in time. But it's all pretty nebulous right now. But our plan is that we would do another film. Michigan's beer scene is still fantastic, still booming. And what I kind of like about what I can contribute to the industry is that, you know, Michigan's increasingly being known as a craft beer state, but there's obviously states like California, you know, Oregon, Washington that are such prominent areas that I want people to look at Michigan and go, man, they have Bell's, they have Founders, they have Dark Horse, and they also have this Michigan Beer Film series, and like that shows kind of the passion of the people in that state, and kind of have that thing going for the state. Then that could be kind of my stamp to contribute to the industry, I guess.
Very nice. Well, because of the film and seeing Greenbush on there and Right Brain Brewing, for example, we're going to be reaching out to some of these breweries to attend and pour beer at our anniversary party there, too.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you exposed us to breweries that we didn't know about already, so I appreciate that very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
All right, go to mibeerfilm.com. It's for the Michigan Beer Film, and Kevin here directed it. And it's a good watch, and especially if you're headed out that way, because you get to know a little bit about the whole scene. Mibeerfilm.com. Kevin, thanks for being on with us, brother. And look, I've already got you on our media list for the party.
Hey, send me the invite, man. I'll be there.
We'd love to have you out there.
Now
and
just spin your blog up, and you'll be fine.
Just you, by the way. The rest of your crew's got to pay.
Yeah, they all. Okay. Yeah, double. They have
Sounds
to pay.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
Bye.
That's Kevin Romeo, the Michigan Beer Film.
You know what else is cool? He funded a large part of the production and the production of the DVDs themselves through Kickstarter. Raised over $30,000.
Wow. It's expensive to make that stuff, so that's a good amount. Probably had to pay the editor $29,000. I mean, it's that stuff gets crazy fast. So that's what I mean. Like, when I kind of said Michigan loves Michigan, I could see them rallying around a project like that. They want to see it too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I don't really love California. Like, I like to live here, but if someone's like, hey, we're going to make a film just about like California and how cool California is, I'd be like, I don't care.
Yeah. If someone was trying to start a California chant at a beer festival, you would not join in.
I'd throw up.
There's too many syllables.
Oh, I'm about to throw up. California. Fuck it. It's too long.
But if you're drunk at a beer fest and someone with a camera stands up and goes, all right, everyone start chanting, you're going to be right. You're going to be that fat slob right up front trying to be the loudest. Hey, did you see that beer film about California? You could hear me. You can't see me, but you could hear me.
I'm right there.
Yeah.
I'm the loud one.
That was me.
No, not there. Right there.
No, not that. The other loud one.
Now hold me.
All right. Well, it's a good watch, so go check it out, everybody. And it'd be exciting to see Kevin out at the... maybe we'll do a DVD signing at the BNA 9.
That'd be cool.
You know, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of Michiganders there, so...
Michiganders? Maybe they... Is that what they're called?
I think so.
Yeah?
Right, Tasty?
I don't know. Michiganites?
Michiganian? Michiganonians?
Michigans?
It's making us awkward and hard to pronounce as possible.
Yeah.
Michiganagonians.
Yeah. Michigopadoudigons.
That's nice.
All right. It's getting worse now. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I believe we're going to talk collaboration beer in Michigan. So it's the Michigan NHC show. Hang in there. It's the session.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine is the new go-to source for home brewing enthusiasts and anyone passionate about craft beer. Each new issue is full of inspiration, recipes, and techniques for home brewing, cooking and pairing food with beer, and features from craft brewers and the world of craft beer. More than 120 full-color pages of content, quarterly releases, and annual specials. Get practical advice from brewing experts, equipment reviews, great interviews, and much more. There's a new craft beer magazine available right now. Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine on newsstands now. Visit www.beerandbrewing.com. Subscribe now and get your limited edition bottle opener free today. Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine, the new word in craft beer and brewing.
Hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Hey guys, JP here from the Brewing Network. On the show, you've heard us talk about the importance of using the right malts and the freshest ingredients possible when brewing up a batch of beer. As a BJCP judge, I am always impressed when brewers make European beer styles and choose the proper base malts, something that really comes through in the finished product. BSG supplies your favorite local shop with malt from maltsters like Weyermann and Rahr. These malts are the real deal for the most authentic beers possible.
BSG, Brewer Supply Group, is the source for quality malts. Crisp, Simpsons, and Patagonia are more of the amazing maltsters BSG brings to you. From pilsners to porters, use the right malts for every style of beer with malt from BSG. BSG, quality malt for a quality beer.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. New items include the Big Oxygen Kit for economical wort aeration using common welding oxygen tanks, and the Unistat line of external thermostats for easy control of both electric heaters and refrigerators. In addition, they've just mashed their new oatmeal stout malt extract, so you can make those tasty winter oatmeal stouts and porters without mashing. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Wooly, I'm beat. Can we find a nice tree to just hang out in for a while?
You're beat? I've been swinging through this forest for 50 years, ever since we
first escaped from the circus. I know, but there's got to be more to life than exploring this creek and trying to populate the valley by copulating with loose, hairy girls.
Marcus, stop. Look!
What is that?
It looks like a man-made treehouse.
With fresh food.
And craft beer.
Welcome to the Creek Monkey Tap House, boys. Grab a seat. Creek Monkeys drink free.
Awesome!
The Creek Monkey Tap House in Martinez, California takes their mission of fresh food and beer seriously. They only serve locally raised beef and chicken, as well as local sustainable produce. It's better for you and the planet, and it just tastes better. The beer and wine at Creek Monkey Tap House are chosen with the same care for the highest quality and rotate frequently to make each visit an adventure. Yeah. Swing on in to the Creek Monkey Tap House and enjoy a new legend of amazing food, beer, and wine. The Creek Monkey Tap House, online at creekmonkey.com.
Ewa, what's it feel like?
Take awesome and multiply it by two.
Yeah!
Spraying live beer radio all over your face.
Can't get any better than this, baby.
It's the Brewing Network.
Into the session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, boys and girls, thanks for hanging in there with us. We got a lot left to do today. Hey, let me remind you, though, about a Kickstarter project that's worth funding. The Brewometer. It's a wireless hydrometer and thermometer. It floats in your brew, so you don't need to open the fermenter and pour out any of your beer. So, you know, if you're super stingy with your every ounce of beer like I am, then even taking a hydrometer sample becomes an issue. But you don't have to do it with the brewometer. It's an entirely new principle to measure specific gravity. The thing kind of just floats in your beer kind of at an angle, and then depending on that angle, via Bluetooth, it sends information to your Android or iOS device and tells you the gravity. And while it's at it, it also tells you the temperature. Easy to use, sends the data where it needs to go. You can back the Brewometer project on Kickstarter and be able to get one yourself, which is always a cool thing about Kickstarter. Like if you find a product that you like at whatever level, you know, they pick the level, you get it like at a super discount from what it's going to be retail. I always like that. Like some of the, even the stainless growlers that we've seen around, I've seen that where they're going to retail for like $50, but if you supported them on Kickstarter, you could get it for like a $20 level.
Yeah.
So you can do that with the Brewometer too. Go over to Kickstarter.com and just search Brewometer, Brewometer, the Brewometer. And yeah. Eventually, you'll be able to see the progress of your beer on the web and share the data with your friends with the Brewometer.
It's sweet. The guys who invented that thing are geniuses.
Yeah?
That is a sweet device.
Yeah. It's very cool. All right. So we should now have on the phone Mills from Cranker's Brewery out there in, not Grand Rapids, but like super
big Rapids.
Super duper Rapids or something. What is it, Mills?
Excellent. Fantastic Rapids.
It's Fantastic Rapids. I would love to move to Fantastic Rapids. I would
take a number.
Mills showed me around when I was in Grand Rapids, actually. Picked me up at the airport, took me out and wined me and dined me. And then fingered my butt. It was nice enough.
It was more than just that, and you know it.
It was love. It was real love.
It was love. It was real.
Also must have been a nice dinner.
All right, and then we should also have our good friend Nathan Smith on the line. Hey, Nate.
Hey there. I didn't get that kind of treatment. Maybe that's why I'm not there right now.
You didn't buy him dinner and a bottle of wine.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Your butt's pretty loose anyway.
That's the in-person treatment.
That's right.
Exactly.
And it require a secret handshake. I had to put Duty in my hand and shake Mills like it was a whole thing.
I put Duty in my left and shake my own right hand.
Right, it was.
It must have been hard for you, Jay, with the whole germophobia.
It was hard. It was it wasn't, especially because it wasn't my duty. It was hard.
Anyway. I bet it was hard.
Oh, it was hard.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm
disgusting.
Getting us off track here early. So once Mills found out that we were headed out to Michigan for NHC, he thought, well, look, I should do a collaboration with these guys. So he started talking to Nathan and Tasty about brewing. A beer at Crankers. If you search back through our archives, you'll find Mills from Crankers Brewery. He was on the program before. Just search Crankers, and you can hear all about the brewery there.
It was the Christmas show 2012.
There you go. Cool. So let's start with this. Give me some of the basics, Mills. How much beer is this collaboration going to be? How much are you brewing?
15 barrels.
A 15 barrel? Okay. Yep. And then will it be available at both, and we're purchasing it, so let me preface it with that, at BNA9 and the National Homebrewers Conference?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So listeners will get ample chance to try this beer. And what was the original idea that you guys had to brew as a beer?
Well, you know, first of all, with NHC coming up, I just figured it would be cool to do something with you guys, and then I figured it would be nice to I originally touched base with Nate on it, and then later we also were thinking that it would be a concept that would work well with what McDowell has going on with his talk, and so we kind of fused some ideas there, and we're going to be putting together a hoppy session ale. That's pretty heavily influenced with some of the stuff that Mike has been doing, with elevated levels of lighter Lovibond crystal, and some aggressive hopping, and yeah, so
like a session, one of these session IPAs that we've been hearing so much about.
I think Mike, do you think it falls into that range? Is that what you would call it?
Yeah, I'd say it's yeah. Because of the hopping level, I think we're looking at about 60 to 70 IBUs.
Absolutely.
So that, to me, says it's an IPA strength hopping. So obviously the alcohol is going to be much less than an IPA.
Can we just call it a hoppy pale ale?
That works. Then you can drink it.
Well, pales don't usually get that hoppy, though, right?
Hoppy 70, pale ale.
70 IBU? Oh, I see.
But then
I'm just splitting hairs.
Yeah, you are splitting hairs. Right. I get it.
Thank you.
All right. So that's what you're going with now.
Yep.
Okay. And who wrote the recipe? Did you guys work on this together?
Yeah. We sat down a couple times and put some ideas together. What's cool for me with the whole thing is, you know, I have what I'm doing in my brewery, and it's always interesting to bounce ideas off other people and to utilize other people's concepts and with what you have going on. So I really kind of turned it over to Nate and Mike and I really wanted to see the direction that they wanted to go with it. It looks like we have some pretty exciting things going on the hop side that I'm sure Nate can talk about a little bit more in depth than I can. Some of the varietals he has more background than I do, and actually I even have some questions on some of the stuff for him too. So,
like, how the fuck do I get it?
Absolutely, that's the primary question.
I got that taken care of, thankfully.
Oh, did you, Nate? Did you recommend and then have to source the hops?
Yeah, I have the hops all sourced and ready to go.
Okay,
so we have some cool stuff picked out there. But yeah, Tasty and Mills and I got together on Google Hangout and melded a couple ideas on the malt bill, dialed it down slightly from what we originally had thought we would want. We originally started about 1052, we lowered that to 1048. So we're looking at a gravity of about there to start with, and then we want to finish it out at about maybe 1012 to 1015, keep a little bit of body in the beer, kind of balance that higher IBU that Mills and Tasty were talking about 60, maybe even up to 70 IBU, but 60 was a, I think, an ideal target for this beer. would be about 75% RAR 2 row, 13% Vienna, and about 12% Crystal 15. So we'll keep a little bit of, like Micah's been working on, this double-digit percentage of crystal, lower level bond crystal malt in the beer to keep it from getting too dry and too thin.
So let's pause there for a second, because that was going to be my question. So 12%, that's a lot of crystal traditionally, right? That in a lesser beer that might cause for some bad tastes.
Well, this is a lesser beer.
Okay. Okay.
Believe it or not, if
give me a ballot. Like, what would be a normal pale ale or IPA crystal edition?
Okay. Well, normally it would be like no more than 4%. Say Crystal 40.
Okay.
Or maybe Crystal 60. Not too many people use that anymore. But say 40. I think ours has a small amount of Crystal 40. But the big difference is, instead of all base malt, we're taking a 14% out of the base and using Crystal 15.
I mean,
it is a crystal malt,
but it's not a 40.
It's not yet. So it in larger amounts, it could be the beer could be candy sweet, but in this range of 14%, it just adds body to the beer.
Okay,
and that's what we're trying to avoid, is having a beer that's 60, 70 IBUs, but tastes like hop tea. It's like it's too thin.
I see.
Do you raise the mash temperature to compensate?
Yeah. Well, actually, to exaggerate, mash it like 154.
Yeah, because you're really looking to accentuate body in it. I mean, that's the concept, right?
Right, totally.
So that it's not just... We'll, go ahead, Nate.
We'll target 154 on this, and that could kind of bring all of that stuff... It elevates it a little bit, or keeps it centered.
And the whole point being so that we can still enjoy the flavor of an IPA without getting drunk after two pints? Is that the principle
exactly.
here?
It might confuse you. You might actually think you are drinking an IPA, because it's not thin like a small beer. It's actually got some body to it, and it's hoppy like an IPA, so you know, you might convince yourself it's an IPA.
So, it's kind of like that 1999 to 2002 method of people who brewing IPAs back then were like, well, you need a lot of crystal malt to balance the bitterness of the beer. It didn't really work for higher ABV beers, but there's something to be said for that method. For we're going to end up with like a 4.5% to 4.7% beer here. I think that method actually works pretty well for a smaller beer.
And I think it also speaks to the color of the crystal too, right? I mean, if you're going with 15%, you know, 60 or 80 crystal or something like that, you could potentially be having a different conversation, you know, as opposed to going with that lighter love crystal, correct?
Yeah, you'd be talking more like an amber ale rather
absolutely.
Than a pale ale. Or
absolutely.
So you still want this to have that nice pale ale color?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the hops, Nate. Can we are we allowed to say what you're going to use?
Absolutely. I got three hops picked out, three newer varieties, and one of them, just a numbered variety, is still without a name. Two hops from Peterbug Farms, the Hops Direct folks. They were kind enough to donate some hops to the... I pitched the idea of the talk that I'm doing at the NHC, and I'll give them a shout-out here. They were nice enough to give me 5 pounds of a hop called Legacy and 5 pounds of a hop called Belma.
Awesome.
And I'm really interested in using those in the whirlpool on this batch, maybe a little bit in the dry hop. But I've worked with both of those hops, and I think they showcase really well a little bit on the hot, late hot side, like the whirlpool or a hop back. Legacy, you get kind of these cool blackcurrant and citrus notes. It goes into a little bit of the Simcoe type of territory without being as catty or dank. And Belma's got a lot of neat strawberry and melon type of qualities. That one's probably the more subtle of the three here. And the third hop is a hop that Roger Davis at Faction was kind enough to help me get a little bit of, a hop called 05256 from Hopsteiner. And that is just a big, giant, in-your-face, dank, somewhere between, I would say, though the parentage of the hop is Apollo and Mercure, they're kind of these super alpha hops that were bred from German hops, but the way they're grown in the U.S., it just comes across super dank and really citrusy and interesting. So that'll be a nice component to kind of keep this beer, you know, really, really centered in the West Coast pale ale in your face realm. So
okay.
I think that 05256 and Legacy will work really, really well. Belma has a risk of maybe being covered up, but we're going to play around, try and keep that. The strawberry and melon stuff in there. So,
have any of you guys ever worked with any of these before?
I've worked with all three. Yeah, I really like all of them sort of in different applications than this, but actually Legacy I have used in a pale ale, and I really like that a lot. So that's kind of one of the ones I'm grounding this beer based around. So
Mills, have you?
I haven't, and it's been interesting kind of getting into this a little bit with these guys. So Nate and some of our conversations has talked about some hops being better whirlpool hops, while some hops potentially might be better on the dry side, or some hops being better in the kettle. And I'm just wondering, my kind of question is that information that you're getting with experience, is that something that you can look at kind of the spec sheet on a hop and be pulling some of that information out there? Are there like data points that we can look for off of various hop varieties that may lead us to saying, hey, this hop would benefit from some time in the kettle as opposed to dry or whirlpool or what have you?
With these hops specifically, that's purely an experience thing. I thought that based on the stuff that's on the sheet from Belma, that it would work really well as an aggressive dry hop, but it fades pretty quickly and it doesn't seem to have the staying power. But I don't think there's anything that you could point to in the data that would lead you to that conclusion.
And as far as staying power for those beers in dry hop, that was my other question. Is there anything, is there any correlation between any of the numbers that we get on stuff like that, or is it just an experiential thing?
I think that's also experience, but for some reason, hops like 05256 or one of its parent hops, Apollo, seems to have quite a bit of staying power, and a little bit more than maybe, your average American citrus hop. Maybe just because it's so aggressive, or maybe there's some other... I mean, that's a 18% alpha hop with, 2-3% oil. That might be part of it as well. But I think something about the oil makeup of these super aggressive high alpha hops sometimes can have a longer staying power in the beer as it ages.
Okay.
Of course I'm going to use this as an opportunity to plug our great sponsor, More Beer. But the answer to this question that Nate's giving helps me understand why so many great brewers have little More Beer, 1500, 1550 pilot systems in their brew house. Russian River, and I think Mitch has one down at Stone, because even the spec sheet doesn't give you all of the information that you need. What Nathan thought might work from the spec sheet didn't, and even the best brewers on the planet are using little 10-gallon, you still got a homebrew, basically.
You still got a homebrew. There's no substitute for actually making a beer with some of these hops, no matter how much you think you can perceive with the how they smell and what the data is.
Yeah.
Especially so, combining
them. Mills, you better get your ass back to home brewing.
Well, it's true, and we've been doing a little bit, it's something that we're going to get more into. I just hired Jay, you met him, a new assistant, Andy Gallagher, and it's always great to get. I'm not that far away removed from my home brewing, but it's always nice to look at things through that lens again, absolutely. It's one of the things that we're looking forward to. We have the Summer Beer Festival coming up here in Michigan, which is a pretty big deal, and we're working on some small batch concepts for that. And there really is no substitute for just actually doing it, and trying different things out.
And I did meet Andy. He has much smaller fingers than you do, Mills. So that was nice.
I believe the term is girthy.
Now, did you guys go through several recipes before deciding on one, or are you still? Is the recipe still in flux on this beer?
I think grain-wise, we're kind of in there, right?
Sorry, Mills?
I think grain-wise, we're kind of in the range, right? And right now, we're just kind of kicking around what exactly we're going to end up doing whirlpool and dry hop-wise with this beer.
Yeah, exactly. I think everything is set except for those two. And we have a couple things that we could play around with there, but it's pretty easy to nail, I think, what we want. I mean, we're going to want a great session beer that people are going to be able to drink at BNA 9 and, continue to enjoy through the NHC, both your talk, Tasty's talk, and my talk. And I think there'll be things that we can discuss on each of those.
Excellent.
Did you guys say what ABV you're targeting?
About 4.5 to 4.7.
Okay. And it will be poured at everybody's talk. Okay.
I believe so. I know I'm going to be doing, in my talk, I'm going to be talking a little bit about homebrew scale to professional, and I'm going to be serving a version of our Professor IPA before the dry hop and then after the dry hop to show the difference between Whirlpool hopping and Whirlpool and tagged along with fairly aggressive dry hopping. So
okay,
yeah.
So the plan is though to produce this on Krenker's big system, though, right? Once you perfect it with pilot batches.
Well, I mean, really, this is going to be this is going to be a one-off, especially for me. These are some fairly select ass hops here, and it's not something that I'd regularly be able to put in. But the cool thing about it for me is this is brewing the 15% Crystal 15 in this and things like that. That's a little bit spooky to me because that's something I haven't done before, especially on our big system. And so I'm not going to lie, like the night after we had the conversation where we kind of had where kind of in the development of this recipe, they kind of put where we added this Crystal 15, I did have a little bit of like, I mean, you still have those stress dreams, right? Like where you're in college and you have to, you know, make it to the final of the class that you never went to and you have to pass or you won't graduate.
Yes.
I had one of those dreams a little bit.
Yeah.
But as I started talking it out with different people, you know, like our IPA has a small amount of crystal, very, very small amount of crystal in this pale ale. And then so when I started talking out and explaining it to people, it makes more and more sense. You know what I mean? How that aggressive bitterness, loading that aggressive bitterness into it, is going to be made more manageable with the added body that you get from the lower level crystal.
It sounds like you should have a therapist, Mills, because talking things out, like you seem to feel better when you talk them out.
You sound like you're talking like I don't have one.
Right. I'll bet you yours doesn't work for free, does he?
Yeah, Mills isn't crazy enough. That's why.
I've creepily stalked out your guy, and
Well, Mills, I have references that we've already done this 15% thing. So.
Well, and that's the thing, and I mean, I know full well, and it's not one of those things. And Mike, you can probably understand it's one of those things where it's outside of a comfort zone for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I understand.
It's the first time I'm doing it, and I know the source, and I know the number of times it's been done. So it's that little thing, and then the more I talked about it, the better I felt about it. Where I was like, yeah, this makes sense. This is how it's going to go together. This is how it's going to work. You know,
I think there's two things that'll help keep that centered: the IBUs, and you know that on your system, things tend to attenuate pretty aggressively.
Correct.
So we'll find that even though we're targeting a 3 Play-Doh or 10-12 to 10-15, it might finish out at 10-10 anyways. I don't think it's going to end up being too sweet.
No. I don't think it will be at all. I don't think it will be at all. I don't think so at all. I think it will be... I'm excited about it. And the other thing is, too, from my perspective, what's cool about it, using a technique like that with stacking up some Crystal 15 in it, it's something that I'm looking at implementing in different ways in other beers. So it's kind of I don't have a ton of opportunity to experiment because a lot of my brewing is put between the three brands that we're packaging. So anytime you can do something new, it's a big deal, you know. So yeah, it's exciting.
So Nathan, your comment about how Mills' system attenuates down so well kind of leads me to a question. Are changes like this, something like upping the crystal, Tasty, in your experience, is this something that really does vary system to system?
Yeah.
So it does. So you would have to kind of look at what Mills is doing before recommending, hey, we can pull off going up to 15%.
I think I asked him, like, in similar beers that he would mash it at was he mashed any particular beer at, and what does it finish at? And then sort of from that discussion, we can sort of extrapolate, like, well, if we mash higher, then would we expect it to finish higher?
Okay.
And then he goes, yeah, maybe not. They really do like to finish pretty dry here. So, like Nate said, the worst case is we only fail and then a beer is just too hop forward. The worst case would be if it's too sweet.
But it's good for me to know because, so even on my homebrew system, right, you know, I look at your recipe for this kind of session IPA and I go, oh, I'm just going to do that. I'll go 15% on the crystal. Well, maybe if I don't attenuate out that well, I would have had to adjust, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. So equipment does matter even with just an ingredient change like that.
Exactly. Basically, you're making a very a very dextrous wort. You're mashing it very high. You're giving the beer every chance to finish high.
Okay.
Then you just aggressively, ferment it. Try to get it finished as low as you can. You really want to get all the sugars out and just leave the unfermentable sugars.
The long chain stuff that's not going to... Okay.
Right, just going to add body.
Okay. And then my follow-up question to that, too, Mills, is did you have more on mashing?
Well, I was going to say, also, mash temperatures aren't transferable either.
Okay.
Besides just the makeup of the grain bill. 154 on Tasty system is not necessarily going to be 154 on your system.
Oh, really? In terms of how it converts sugar?
Right, and in terms of what the finishing gravity is going to be and the finished beer. So you have to also, it's a lot harder to try to figure out what, if any, temperature correction you need to make.
Okay.
Other than if you can get, like Tasty was asking Mills about, okay, you have this beer, what does it finish at? To kind of get an idea for what mash temperature they need to shoot for and how the C15 being so high will affect the finishing gravity.
Okay.
Why is that?
Why is the mash temperature not the same system to system?
Yeah.
Well, there's...
I mean, temperature should be temperature, right?
Well, but the way your system is set up, like the dimensions of your mash tun, mm-hmm. how far, where the probe is located
right.
in relationship to the grain bed and just the height in the grain bed and just the way thermal mass and everything is different between each pot, unless it's the exact same pot with the same thermal well in it.
Okay.
And your process, like how you dough in, if you use a wet mill, it makes a difference.
How thick your mash is, all that stuff can affect.
Got it. Tasty hasn't had the exact same pot in years. It's different every time.
So many choices. What is the guy to do?
So I was going to go to kind of a similar question for you, Mills. Over to hops, actually, at least a friend of pot. Are there new techniques being implemented here in terms of hops? I mean, I know you guys have mentioned whirlpool hopping. You must be doing that already. But is there anything else that's new for you?
Not so much. I mean, to me, really, right now, I only have one beer that features American hops. Everything else is pretty malt forward. Partially because the town I'm in is they go to malty beers before hoppy beers. Okay. By and large, it's not a big craft beer audience here. So IPA does sell well in house, but you know, a lot of times people are looking for maltier beers. Not really technique-wise, but it's more of getting my hands on hops that I haven't used before, and things like that.
So we're going to leave you with 15 barrels of beer you can't sell in your town and you can never make again.
No. It'll sell well. It'll sell well. Probably IPA is probably one of our better sellers in-house, probably one of our top three for sure. It'll move. That won't be an issue. That won't be an issue.
So I'm guessing it wasn't a hard sell then for the Crankers owners that you wanted to do this on the big system?
No. Well, and really, quite frankly, they let me do my thing. So that's the best thing about the whole deal.
That's
so.
Right, Mills. You don't ask, you tell, right. baby.
Well, it's not even just tell. I just brew it, you know? I mean, you know, yeah. I'll say, hey, I got a new beer coming up. It's a session beer. It's going to be badass and hoppy and, you know, 4-something%. And they're the thumbs up. So, nice. You know, can't ask for more than that.
When are you brewing it?
Later this month.
Yeah, what is the ideal serving range for this one, Tasty? You know, in terms of when he brews it and when we get to drink it.
All right. Well, if we get the balance we're shooting for, then you drink it the next day. It's like
I see.
Start drinking it. If it's hop forward, then it'll be better in like 4 or 5 weeks
because bitterness drops out.
Yeah, it drops out. It'll come down and match it.
Okay. So where are we at now? We're like at a month.
Yeah, there's only the 12th.
We want to be serving that on the 12th at 3:30 in the afternoon.
So you're brewing this
seminar
week,
room B.
Yeah, but I really prefer to be have it really down to the hour. So I mean, I'd prefer to be serving it at 3:15, but if it has to be 3:30, then so be it.
You're not.
I'm a numbers guy. You know.
Can you call me back and tell me all the dreams that you have this week?
Just that one horrible thing, and then I wake up. You know, I wake up at 2 in the morning or whatever, and just sit there and regret things.
right,
Mills.
None of them beer related.
You need to be grateful that you're even getting sleep in order to dream. Justin just can't even get to the REM cycle.
I don't even fucking sleep, man.
Hey, Mills, I'll send you a sample of a beer made very similarly before you brew.
There you go.
Fantastic. I would love that.
It's
called. All right,
Mills, my flight lands at like 2, so I'll expect you to be there again. You know, fingers ready.
clip your nails.
Yeah. Clean up.
No, that's not how I do it. I leave them dirty.
Are you spending the week up in Grand Rapids then for NHC? In other words, you're going to be at the anniversary party? And
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. And you'll be at the conference all week with us?
Yes.
Good. Yes. Okay, good. That's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Nathan, Tasty, it sounds like you have done your magic once again. I look forward to trying the beer.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Mills.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Thanks, Nate. We'll see you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right. Sounds like a good beer. It'll be fun. I like that. This should be a thing every year. Wherever we go for NHC, there should be a BN collaboration somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Next year ought to be a piece of cake. It's in San Diego. We should have 10 collaborations.
Exactly.
You know, White Labs has a brewery, too.
We'll do one there.
We could do a White Labs collaboration. We could do a Ballast Point collaboration.
Stone.
We could do a Stone collaboration with Mitch.
Rip Current
with
Paul. We
could do a Rip Current. Wow, so we're getting there fast. It also is our 10th anniversary. So,
ooh.
10 years, 10 beers.
Oh.
All collaboration.
All the ideas are, there you go. They're
there
done.
You
know.
That's
done.
It.
JP, you and I should collaborate on one with a pro.
I agree.
Somebody
I've been saying this for years.
Who's willing to work with you and I together.
I think I know I know 12 right now off
you
the top
do?
Of my head. Yeah.
Excellent. It's I can see the them working with you.
Shit.
It's the addition of me. I'll be like, yeah, and 100% crystal.
See, it's way to go.
Well, we're gonna try. I'm gonna go Tasty on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tasty's like, I don't think you understood me. You got this wrong. No. 150% crystal.
Yeah. With a splash of Pilsner malt to help the conversion.
Yeah.
Call it Justin and JP's jinxed. Is there a style that starts with J? Jalapeno
jinxed.
Jalapeno isn't a style.
I don't know.
It starts with a J, though.
Who even knows? I don't know. All right. Hey, let me. We got to take a break. So let me let you know really quick. One of our title sponsors of BNA9, Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine, the new go-to source for homebrewing enthusiasts and those who are passionate about craft beer. It's a new magazine. It's a big magazine, right, JP? It's like
125 pages.
Love
or
it.
124 or something like that. Full color beautifulness.
Yeah, lots of things to look at so I don't have to read. That's great. Each issue will contain recipes, inspiration, techniques for homebrewing, features on craft beer, articles on cooking and pairing with both food and beer, which is always exciting. Craft brewers talking to homebrewers about homebrewing, which is what we do here on the show. So if it works here, it's probably going to work in a great magazine like this, too.
The cool thing about their website, too, is they have new content every day.
Oh, really?
Every day.
That's unique.
Yeah.
We haven't done that in ever.
Right. Like a new article, a new video.
What a great
it's just
idea.
They
right?
can do that on the internet?
What they can do that on the internet.
Amazing idea.
But who does that? Nobody does it.
21st century.
Right.
Yeah, we're particularly bad at it. But even people who are good at it don't do it every
day. Yes, but everyone has the ability, but they're actually doing that.
So. All right. Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Go check them out. You can search now. Check out their website, Craft Beer Brewing Magazine. And they're going to be at BNA9 handing out, I think, magazines, too. Or at least swag or something.
Yeah, they will definitely be there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you to Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine for sponsoring BNA9. Once again, you can get your tickets over at thebrewingnetwork.com/BNA9.
I wonder how many people, when you said the new go-to source, in their head heard 26-year-old Jay say, your only source.
Your only source.
Do imitate yourself. Do it.
Your only source for live beer radio.
No, magazine. Craft Beer and Brewing.
All right.
Come on.
We'll be back.
To the Brewcasters. Brewing Network. BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hop Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit Austin Homebrew
homebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
As a brewer, you already don't settle for second best. You want great tasting beer and you want great equipment to make it with. So don't settle for the second best grain mill. You want a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware. Monster Mills are tough, come in 2 and 3 roller designs, and are made right here in the USA from superior materials for longer lasting performance. Pick the mill that's right for you at MonsterBrewingHardware.com and take Bevo's advice.
Trust me, it's always better to have a bigger tool than you think you need.
Monster Mills have the best warranty in the business. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit MonsterBrewingHardware.com now and check out all the mills and mill accessories. Don't settle for second best. Get a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware.
Do you know the 3 most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than 5-Star Chemicals. 5-Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And 5-Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, 5-Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, SantaClean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. 5-Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And 5-Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the 5-Star solution. Visit 5starchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the 5-Star treatment today.
Tonight is the night.
We bring the creature to life, Dr. Blitzenstein?
Yes, J.P. Gore. Everything is perfect for my next fermented creation.
My daughter, these thorns too far away will never have enough power to isomerize the creature's alpha acid.
Yes, J.P. Gore, we will. For I have in my possession the Tower of Power!
Glickman's new Tower of Power is the evolution of automation. Control hot liquor, sparge, and mash temps like a pro. The Tower of Power is a high-quality gas-fired rim system that works with your current brewing setup. With ultra-precision, the tower can hold your mash to 0.5 degree Fahrenheit. Precision and repeatability. The Tower of Power is the answer to automatic, fast ramp times. See more at BlickmanEngineering.com. Bring your next creation to life with the Tower of Power.
Dr. Blitzenstein, with the Tower of Power, you can probably give me an afternoon at the pub to enjoy a pint.
Don't be silly, J.P. Gore. We have beer to brew.
Adventures in Homebrewing have the knowledge and expertise to craft their own gear and original recipes. Some of the things homebrewing.org creates and manufactures in-house are the Brutus brew stands and propane burners, the Serial Killer adjustable 2-roller grain mill with 7-pound hopper, custom stainless steel false bottoms designed to fit kegels, coolers, and mini-sized brew pots. Visit Adventures in Homebrewing at the National Homebrewers Conference this June in their home state of Michigan to see more homebrewing.org creations. The brewers at Adventures in Homebrewing have designed a huge selection of original recipes for extract and all-grain brewing. Adventures in Homebrewing original recipes are tried and tested, proven to be of the best quality. And right now, Adventures in Homebrewing is shipping 24 of their best recipes for free. Visit homebrewing.org for the most current selection. Once you try one of Adventures in Homebrewing recipes, you'll keep coming back for more. And now, it's even easier with free shipping on these kits. And don't forget to use the current coupon code AIH10. Adventures in Homebrewing at homebrewing.org.
Mix me your 100 grain amber recipe and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
beer. This is The Session.
Welcome back to the program, and thank you for hanging out with us today.
Welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks to our sponsor, More Beer, bringing you this session and every session. The Michigan Beer Film for being on the program. Mills from Crankers, and we still have more to do. I wanted to let you know, before we get into the Brewcaster Challenge update, which is what we're about to do here, we got JP and Tasty competing against each other.
Hell yeah!
In the winner's bracket of the Brewcaster Challenge. We'll talk about that in just a second, but I wanted to let you know about Beersmith. You can go to beersmith.com right now and get your free 21-day trial of the Beersmith homebrewing software. It's available on PC and Mac and Android and iOS and the mobile and desktop. It's everywhere. Plus, there's a podcast over there. There's video tutorials to teach you how to use the whole thing if you're concerned about making the transition. You can watch a video based on every step of the process, including entering your own system into the software so that every time you do a recipe, it reads your system profile, and you can dial it all in. It's really an excellent piece of software. If you don't know about it already, which you should, beersmith.com, get your free 21-day trial right now. All right. So the Brewcaster Challenge is upon us.
Yes.
Can I just demonstrate for you guys what the smack-talking, because you and Nate, Justin, had a good smack talk going.
I felt like we did okay.
Yeah, you did. It might have been maybe like 80-20 in your favor.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah.
And I just want to demonstrate for you guys what it's going to sound like when JP and Tasty talk smack to each other.
Okay.
You can suck a dick. You can suck a dick. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. There you go. It's, all right. Get ready for art to imitate life.
That's the whole thing. Okay. Highly entertaining smack talk from these two fierce competitors.
That's right.
Okay, so you guys have now brewed. Last time we talked about the Brewcaster Challenge, you gave us your recipe. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and of course, BSG Handcraft is the sponsor of the ingredients in the Brewcaster Challenge. They are the proud sponsor of the ingredients. Provide homebrewers and craft brewers alike with high-quality malts direct from the source. You know, all those European malts that you hear about. In fact, we heard people talk about it today on the program. Rahr, Weyermann, Simpsons. They all come from BSG. So you can't really make a European beer style without using malts that come through BSG.
Right.
And since you guys are doing Rauch beer...
There you go.
I want to get yelled at again.
Rack beer.
By the Germans.
I think it's rack beer.
you used quality European malts from BSG as well.
All German malts.
Okay. So we got your recipes last time during our live show at the AHA rally at Heretic.
Right.
But now you both have brewed, is that right?
Yes.
We have brewed.
You've brewed the beer. When did you brew, JP?
I brewed Sunday.
Okay.
As a matter of fact. But I didn't pitch until this morning.
Okay, I had that happen, although I lost, so that's probably not a good... never mind. Just never mind.
Well, what do you mean?
Nothing. You're doing great.
Well, no, now I need to...
Well...
When did you brew, Tasty?
I brewed on Saturday.
And when did you pitch?
On Sunday.
Okay, so it's common to... It's a lager.
I don't have... I'd have to use, ice and so forth to get it down to lager temperature to pitch.
Yeah.
So I just put it into my space and let the, the cooling power in the space bring it down to pitching temperature.
Which is overnight. What, by the way, what is your space?
My space, I have this little wooden frame room in my basement. In California, we don't have basements, so I have more of a crawl space, basically.
Okay, yeah.
And then, so the ambient down there is about 70, 75. Anyway, I got a little wooden frame structure. It's only 5 feet tall, a couple feet deep. It's just covered in foam. And I got an air conditioner in the back of it. And that will bring a beer down to 57 to 59, depending on the ambient.
So you just put carboys? Is that
I'm not using a conical.
Okay.
I make 10-gallon batches, or I can make about 12 gallons of wort, put 11 and a half in the conical, and put 10 gallons in the kegs when I'm done.
Okay.
What's the...
And what is... And where is yours, JP?
It's in my garage.
In a
heating and cooled Moorbeer 10-gallon conical.
Okay, got it.
What's the maximum amount of time that could pass? I'm curious with the pitching the next day. Could you let a week pass? How long could it
Well, you you could, in theory, you can never pitch if you wanted to, but it just depends on how clean you are, how your sanitization goes, and all that kind of stuff.
Assuming you were careful with it, and you pitched 4 days later, it would make no difference to the finished product.
Well,
I don't know
if it stayed uncontaminated. That's right. The idea is that, and we've talked about this before too. It's a good question. There is no perfect wort. There is no wort that is not going to have any contaminants in it. The idea is that you get your yeast going to work before the other things do. Mm. And then even though they're in existence, the yeast overpowers them and does its work before anything else. Is that about right, JP?
That's about right.
So the longer period of time that you wait before, you know, boiling...
You let them go to work, the bad guys.
That's right.
I see.
And the less chance your yeast has to overpower them. And even at one point, if they overpower them, if it's too late, they've already gone to work and started some off flavors, then that's already a problem. So your question is, it's kind of, could be a day, could be a week.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on how clean that wort transferred, right?
I mean, yeah, you could is the answer, but there's no reason in hell you would ever want to.
Well, I believe there are German breweries that wait to pitch, because they actually wait for the cold break to settle out, because there's hot break in the kettle that you try to whirlpool to separate.
Yeah.
And then after you chill the wort, there's also a cold break that happens. And so there are German breweries that have a separate vessel that the cold wort gets knocked out into, and they wait for the cold break to fall out, and then they'll rack it into the fermenter where it's going to have the yeast and everything.
I'm tired of your lies, dude.
Yeah.
Well, did it sound realistic, though?
I was just making it. No, you had me. You had me going.
No, I do that on my lagers. Like, I don't know, like when you do it, ever taken a hydrometer sample, you let it sit in about a half hour, you can see that there's a bunch of stuff forming in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it forms in the bottom of your fermenter. Well, if I have a conical with a bottom drain, before I pitch in the morning, I just go in and run all that crap off.
You dump it.
That's why I put 11 and a half gallons into the conical, just trying to get 10 gallons of beer. I want to make sure I got enough wort to do those kind of things.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we... let's talk about your brew day, and then we'll come back to fermentation, because presumably, if you both brewed over the weekend, there's a little bit of fermentation stuff to talk about already, and I want to get to that. But let's talk about the brew day itself. Let's start with JP. You brewed yesterday.
I did.
How did it? By the way, it's heating up in the greater Concord area.
Yeah, supposed to be a record-breaking temps this weekend.
A nice time for a lager.
Wonderful time for a lager. Yeah. Jeez.
You're pretty dialed in with your system.
I am.
You brew more often now even than you did, I think, a couple years ago. You've gotten back into
probably,
it a little bit.
Yeah.
How did the brew day go?
It actually went fine. With this beer, I decided to do a couple things differently, make it a little more challenging. One of those being a step mash. So I mashed in at 130.
Okay.
And then held it there for about half an hour. And then using my wort chiller, putting that into my hot liquor tank, which was about 170 at the time. Then I would recirculate my mash through my wort chiller and have that heat exchange heat up the wort gradually, bring it up to 154, and let it rest there for about half an hour, and then ran it out, and then was able to then step it up again to 160 to kind of stop all that activity, and then sparge out.
And why the decision this time to do a step?
Because it's a lager. I felt like I would need that kind of extra boost in the flavors of my beer.
You know, our friend Dan Gordon has been coming on this show for years, and we've had others, of course, come in here and say, well, because malts are so highly modified, you no longer need to do a step mash. But that man comes in here every time and sticks to his guns and swears that you cannot do a proper lager without step mashing. So you've got a little backup on this by saying, look, I'm doing a lager, I better do steps.
That's true. I hope so. And some of the stuff I read online, because it's basically an Oktoberfest Märzen beer, base beer. And you need to have those kind of melanoidins, those deeper flavors, it's harder to replicate.
Yeah.
With like a melanoidin malt will help, You know, even then, I should have done a double decoction. I think we talked about in the other show.
Yeah,
but I, you know, no one got time for that.
No, ain't nobody got time for that. No.
So I decided to do this, and you know, it worked fairly well. I think. I mean,
okay,
you know,
and you were able to just complete your steps pretty easily.
I was able to complete my steps, but I did screw up.
Okay.
I did screw up, if you want to hear about that.
Oh, you
now.
Know I do.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that someone is going to mention a screw up.
You want to play the intro for the happy hour?
Right?
Yeah.
So the way I work is after a brew day, I just kind of hose everything out, and then to set up for the next brew day, whenever I'm brewing, then I'll make a big batch of PW and run it through my pump and all my shit, right? So, so in order to do the step mash, I had to make sure that my hot liquor water was hot, was going to be hotter than my target, right? You need about 10 degrees difference or else you're not going to do shit.
This is great. By the way, that's a really good piece of information.
Yeah.
Because I have tried to do step mashing like with the water, with the hot liquor water, just at the temperature I'm trying to get to.
Right.
And it never, and I'm standing there for an hour.
Yeah. And you're going, what is going on?
And so it is important to note. Get that hot liquor tank. In fact, it could be even hotter than 10 degrees. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
As long as you turn it off. And hotter is better. It'll go faster.
Yeah. So I turned on my hot liquor tank, started milling my grains. Then halfway through, I turned on the mash tun. And so everything was ready, you know, right about at the same time. But the hot liquor was like at 160 by the time I mashed in. So everything, you know, it was golden.
Okay.
But anyway, so in preparation for that, I put my wort chiller, my 50-foot wort chiller, in my boil kettle, which had all my PBW in it. And I'm recirculating. I'm going, okay, I'm actually running wort into my wort chiller,
yeah.
So I'm going to run PBW through that just to make sure everything's clean, even though there's been nothing in there ever but water. I don't know why. I just figured I would
do
that.
You felt like it. Okay.
Yeah. So then all that's done, take it out, I hose it off, I put it in my hot liquor tank, hook up all my hoses, and I'm starting to run my wort through the 50-foot wort chiller coil. You know, there's a lot of liquid in 50 feet of copper, right?
Yes.
So I'm like watching the hoses and, you know, priming the pump, and there was, you know, a couple clogs or whatever just from the tiny grain bits as the mash bed had to set. And then, so I see the liquid go in to the wort chiller, but just clear liquid kept coming out, and I go, oh, fuck. I forgot to push out all of that PBW.
Yes.
From the wort chiller.
Yeah.
So I had 50 feet of, which is probably maybe 3/4 of a pitcher.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In my mash tun.
So it did go back into the mash tun.
Oh, yeah. Because right when I saw that brown, lovely liquid enter the wort chiller.
Right.
That's the second that I remembered I didn't flush it out.
Whoops.
Got it.
So I couldn't have stopped it. I mean,
out into the driveway until wort came out, and then
we could have. But at that point it was, you know, it's on my sparge arm, which is kind of screwed into the thing. I wouldn't have caught it in time. I was like, oh, cool. And then you know,
so
that,
there's a picture of PBW in this beer.
Yeah. You know that. Wow. You know that PBW,
but it's the cleanest his mash tun ever.
Yeah,
got.
Right. Yeah.
You know that PBW smell.
Yeah.
Kind of that smell.
Yes.
I open up the mash tun. I go, yeah.
Oh,
and then,
no.
Like, because it's still running, it's still pushing PBW through. I'm like, fuck, I'm an asshole.
Can I vote now? I vote for Tasty.
What if?
Well,
what if
it's not going to do anything?
Maybe I should add some PBW. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
it's a secret
sly
ingredient.
Little fox, this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, now that's a mistake I would have made.
Yeah, but it's not going to do anything, right? I mean, it's food. First of all, it's not going to poison you. It's food grade. It's environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
It's such a diluted state. It was already diluted anyways. Then it's diluted more it's not going to. I didn't screw anything up.
It wouldn't mess with the flavor though.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a worry that I would have, actually.
No, there's no way.
I'm not worried that it's dangerous, but I would worry. That stuff's stinky. Like, it's stinky.
How could it not mess with the flavor?
Because it's so diluted. Well, why do you think it could? I mean,
I think it's possible.
Less than 3/4 of a pitcher.
Right, in a 10-gallon.
Well, at that point, it would have been 12 gallons in my boil kettle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 8%. 7% of the volume.
Yeah, I don't think it would.
Yeah, all things being equal,
what'd you teach the word? It'll mess with the pH, quite possibly.
Maybe in a good way. Maybe. You got it right to 5.2.
You finally figured out a way to make a good Rausch beer.
Yeah. I've never, I mean, I tasted it a couple times. I've never, it didn't.
So you tasted and smelled the wort.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no problem.
Oh, it tastes
wonderful. Probably right then.
Maybe it boiled off.
Yeah, I don't think it...
I always think that you're more paranoid about things than I am, but I'm realizing that's not true. On Brew Day, I would have fucking flipped out. I would have been like, now I have PBW in here. But I'm in hearing you say it, I agree with you. It's going to be fine. But on my own Brew Day, no, I would have dumped it out. I would have had this whole episode.
Yeah, you would have freaked out.
And you would have called JP, and he would have been like, you idiot. That's going to make a huge difference to the final product.
You're dumb. That's true, and it's my beer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just not went for it.
Yeah, I ain't shook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So back to kind of the whole thing about waiting to pitch your yeast.
Okay.
It sounds like Tasty's doing the same thing I was doing, you know, pitching at your fermentation temperature. But our source water here in Northern California is not 50 degrees anymore. It's the summertime. So I got mine about 74, I think, when I transferred into the conical.
Okay.
And that thing will drop a degree an hour, maybe. So at like 7 this morning, it was 54 degrees. And I'm like, it's been running for almost 24 hours. I need to, you know... I need to drop, so I put a little bowl underneath, and then I opened the bottom dump, and everything was so, all the proteins and the hop material, anything that was transferred over was so kind of packed at the bottom, it just kind of stuck, and you know how sometimes
this is the cold break that we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know that kind of drip, drip, drip when you open the thing, and then suddenly whoosh.
Yes,
yeah, I had that happen. That
was
pretty cool.
It happens every time to me. That's one thing I love and hate about the conical. Right? Do you worry about that, Tasty?
Where? What?
Well, you are losing it. It starts to come slowly, and then
I worry about it being really stuck, and then I have to deal with it. But I'm patient. If there's any drip at all, I'll just stand in for until it finally decides.
Or go to the doctor.
But then the big whoosh, like you just...
No, I'm there. I know it's going to... It can do that.
No big deal.
Yeah, I was staying. It was fucking 7 in the morning. I was like, oh, God, I got to do this.
Yeah.
So I wasn't paying attention. But, and then I pitched, and, everything's fine, I think. I hope. I don't know.
Okay. Well, before we start to talk to Tasty about his Brew Day, let me just mention this, because I want to talk about the temperatures and fermentation. We got to get into that.
Yeah.
Our fermentation sponsor for this Brewcaster Challenge is the Brewbug, right? And the Brewbug is one of these devices. Is it the Beer Bug?
It's the Beer Bug.
It's the Beer Bug. Yeah. Thank you. The Beer Bug is one of these devices you put right in there, and it's going to monitor your attenuation, your fermentation, as well as the temperature cycle. And the cool thing about them being a sponsor of this challenge is that you folks at home right now can go and watch how JP and Tasty's beers are doing.
That's right.
Courtesy of the Beer Bug. So go to thebeerbug.com/challenge. Thebeerbug.com/challenge. And if you look right now, you've got JP's beer on the left.
Uh-huh.
Tasty's beer on the right. You see their OG and their estimated final gravity. And then... You can, and JP, I'll have you walk us through this chart after we talk to Tasty about his Brew Day, so that I know what I'm looking at. But I can tell the cycle of the temperatures, where you guys pitched, and where it went, and we'll go through all that stuff. So this, I think it's really cool that folks can sort of play along at home.
I'm excited about it.
And even know, like, by challenge day, they could sort of hedge their bets and go, like, well, I'm
that
looking
was
at...
a pretty good ferment.
Yeah, they're like, I'm looking at JP's graph. I'm so glad this didn't come online until after my challenges were over.
Right.
And then that it's you guys.
You didn't see me raising the temperature.
There
goes the line.
So thanks to the folks at the Beer Bug. Go to thebeerbug.com/challenge. All right, Tasty, let's talk about your Brew Day. How did it go?
Well, fairly uneventful.
Okay.
Just what I hope for.
How you like it.
Don't lie!
I had no...
I put the gallon of PBW in every time.
No cleaning stuff got into the beer. No, nothing unusual.
Okay. New recipe for you, though.
Recipe. I was surprised how not so smoky the smoke ball was.
Yes.
That was encouraging.
Okay. You prefer that,
I mean,
of course.
I might be able to drink this beer.
Okay.
I felt the same way.
Half a glass of water mixed in or something.
Honestly, I was a little worried. And I don't know if you were.
Not smoky enough?
Yeah, because, when I'm milling the malt and when you dough it in, and I don't know about you, Tasty, but for me, I was like, wow, this smells great. It's kind of has a little of that bacony thing, and it smells like a smoked beer, and that's great. And then as the boil kind of progressed, and like it's kind of it almost like it got less smoky and more sweet, kind of these deeper like aromas.
Okay. It dissipates.
Yeah, it does, mm-hmm. but it also concentrated a little bit in a very pleasant way for me. And I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what passing through the yeast is going to do to it as well. So.
Yeah.
And what was the smoke malt again?
Beechwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
From Environment.
From Environment. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
The Environment. So uneventful.
Step mash for you, Tasty?
No, I chose the conventional. Sorry, Dan.
Yeah. He's listening, right? He's
homebrewer method.
Crash his Maserati.
Like, right, yeah. Oh, damn it, Tasty! Again!
Unlike him, I'm willing to use melanoidin malt instead of trying to produce it in the mash.
Well, you mentioned that you could have done that. Mm-hmm. You actually did it, Tasty. You used melanoidin malt. Okay.
And then additionally, I overran the sparge. That is, I created a weaker pre-boil gravity than the recipe called for because I want to do an extended boil, so I boiled for like a half hour. An extra half hour instead of a 90-minute boil, I did a 120-minute boil.
Okay.
To create more melanoidins in the beer.
Interesting. All right.
I did a similar thing. It was probably about 110 minutes. But I lit my boil kettle burner before I had any liquid in it.
Ooh.
So that first, on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to kind of heat that up. So
oh,
first
kind of
running, it would hit that and kind of sizzle a little bit.
That's a good
method. Create a little bit of that, those flavors too. I remember hearing it like from a show or maybe some terrible homebrewer. But
seems like
I was
reasonable.
Yeah, I was like, fuck it, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Okay.
My beer smells real good, so I don't know, we'll see.
I do like, Jay, how your first instinct is that it's a mistake.
Yeah, I would have done that.
It must be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like,
that's messed up, huh?
Okay. All right.
So recipe-wise, it's pretty straightforward. I think it's about 2% melanoidin malt, which isn't a lot. That's why I thought I'd do the extended boil to try to create more of that character in the beer. I don't know, something to do.
Yeah. Do you both, just a fundamental question, since you both did an extended boil kind of thing, you have to account for volume when you do that, right?
Right.
In other words, you always want to transfer, what'd you say, 11 gallons?
Yeah, I want to, at a certain gravity.
So in your kettle, you must have enough headspace then to add more wort, adjust your whole recipe accordingly, because your pre-boil volume is now bigger, so that you can do a two-hour...
Yeah, I just basically boil until I get to my pre-boil volume. I'm using a refractometer so I can check it, and like, I'm almost there, maybe another 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm there, good. I'm at my pre-boil gravity. I got my pre-boil volume.
Okay.
Good to go. I should be, get my target as long as the flame stays consistent. And I did have a propane tank change.
Aha!
That's eventful.
I knew it.
Oh.
I knew it was a mistake.
What a newbie.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, had a full propane tank.
it is.
I know what I'm doing.
It is a problem for brewing consistency.
Because the boil stops.
Because the boil stopped for a period. And I don't know if you've noticed, but as the tank gets lower, that is, it's running out of liquid propane, the pressure doesn't seem to be as great. You may end up getting the level of boil that you normally get.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. There's a full tank of propane boil, and there's a not full tank of propane.
Yeah.
That's where, for brewing consistency, you got to make sure you really get a burner, a stove, or whatever you're using that's got more capacity than you need, that you could back it down so that when you, do need to crank it up, you got some place to go with it.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you're at max all the time, then you're just you're being controlled by the ambient temperature and how much propane's in your tank and how windy it is and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm never at max all the time. I have so much power in
that
thing.
Yeah, that's what you want.
It's great. In fact, it almost... At one point, I'm just dialing it down to its lowest possible.
Off.
Yeah.
Well, the wind doesn't blow the
flame
out.
It's still boiling, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's what you want.
Okay, all right.
I'll cover all that in my
have column. That going for me.
Yeah.
I have the whole more beer system going for me, frankly.
Right.
It's everything else.
Right.
Well, that's the only reason you're actually making beer in the end. And not just sweet water.
Yeah, sometimes I just go stare at it. It's really nice. I did that yesterday.
Exactly.
All right.
So I had a 60-minute hop edition of Holler Tower, and then I had a 10-minute edition. Those all went went according to plan, threw in some World Flock, of course, did the same at 10 minutes.
What did you send to bitter at? What was your...
20,
what
were
your
27 or 20?
I stumped him.
Less than 30 IBUs.
I think it was 27.
Okay.
Just the high end of the range.
And you, Jippy?
I don't know. No, mine was, I think...
some IBUs.
Calculated like 32.
I put in some.
Yeah.
32, okay.
I put in an amount.
Yeah.
Nice. It was a good amount.
It's probably going to have flavors.
Yeah, it might have some flavors.
Hot flavor. A little bitterness.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to filter?
No.
No.
I'm not going to filter.
Would this be a style that you normally... What's it, is lager-like?
Typically, lagers, for the aging process, they pretty much clear themselves up. You wouldn't need to, although if you're going to package it or store it for a while, you might want to filter it to get the staling agents out.
So you won't fine on this one either?
No, I'll fine it.
You'll fine,
absolutely,
but you will not filter.
Right.
What yeast did you use?
The White Labs WLP 830 German lager yeast.
And you?
I used another, a competing yeast.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Asshole.
Okay, yeah. Next topic.
Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
Chris White could blow me. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got one plug in anyway.
Yeah.
And a kick in the balls.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the fermentation profile.
Okay.
Because we got to get some other things, too. So I'm looking at the beerbug.com/challenge, and it looks like Tasty's OG was 1056.
That's correct.
Is that what you were going for?
Yeah.
Of course it was. Jerk.
It's almost at the upper limit of the style guideline.
Oh, it is. Okay. With JP's being 1059, which...
He's slightly
it's
over.
1060. I'm over. I was using Warren's Mill. I never used it before, and I had planned on a 70% gravity.
I warned him multiple times.
But I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever, because when we made your milk stout, we didn't calculate out... I don't know what the efficiency on my system using your mill is.
No, I used my old efficiency. That's why I got the number that I was
That's why I got the number that... Well, whatever, I didn't do it. I got
whatever.
A little higher. I was shooting for 1056.
Okay. So yeah, 1059.
Yeah. 1060.
1060, yeah. Okay.
It's at 1059 right there.
I can see on the Beer Bug page that we can click several things like ingredients and user notes and recipe specs. I'm not going to do that here, but folks at home, you can do that. Tell me what I'm looking at, JP. I see the first graph in green, which gives me the OG, 1059 for you, 1060, 1048 for Tasty. And then I'm looking at a graph as it goes down, right? Well,
yeah.
Or in some cases as it jumps all over the place.
Yeah, well, so what the beer bug is it's a little black square dilemabob is, I think, what the proper word for it is.
Sure.
And it fits inside the stopper in your carboy, and there's a little metal plate inside the dilemabob that hangs a plastic thing they call a torpedo.
Okay.
And that is submerged in your wort. And so based on the buoyancy of that will determine what your gravity is at and you know.
So this green graph, I'm looking essentially at actual fermentation. I'm looking at the gravity.
Yeah, and that's all dependent on where you set the data point. So you would take your hydrometer sample and then you enter it into the beer bug software and you go, my beer is at 1060, and it goes, okay, I'm eating at 1060, and then from there it calculates out. What I did here, and you can see on, I have a couple spikes, up and down, is because I was farting around with it.
Oh, I see.
I was messing with it because it needs to be level, so I was kind of turning the conical a little bit, at one point I think when I pitch, so it's very dependent on the level of not only your conical but of the beer bug, and if you're moving it around, it'll slosh the thing and it'll pull some weight.
See.
On the on the data points. Now
I'm glad you point that out because I'm looking at the two graphs. I'm looking at Tasty's, which is like really smooth and steady and just going down, and I'm like, well, you lost.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and I'm like, we're not even there yet, and you lost.
Yeah, somehow I managed to go from 1058 to 1062
back
with not doing it.
Way down to...
And then back up again.
Whereas Tasty has this really nice, smooth arc, and then it just goes down. But it's... Okay, now it's because you were messing with it.
Yeah, so it takes a little bit of calibration, which it should. It just reports on what's happening in your fermenter. You give it all the data points up front.
Okay.
And then it just takes a random collection. I think it's like 6 per hour.
Tasty, yours is looking good, man.
It's looking good.
I mean, even your graphs look good.
I found something interesting by looking at the temperature this morning. I went and made a change. Christine, I told you I have this air conditioner and it runs, and it's on like a Ranco controller.
Yeah.
And the probe is... taped to the side of the conical stainless steel fermenter. It's got a little bit of insulation behind it so that it doesn't... Anyway, it's supposedly measuring what's inside the fermenter. Well, okay. This thing's measuring a much different temperature than my Aranco is.
Oh,
I'm finding that out.
This has a probe in...
It's actually in the liquid.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I mean, they're about the right... The settings are about the same. It's just that it's showing much more variability in temperature than I'm picking up on the Aranco.
Okay.
And also notice when the Aranco turns on, that is, the air conditioner runs, it's cycling quite a bit, especially at the point where, like, it can only get it down to 57 or 58, because the air conditioner is just not, you can get in a unit that'll fake it out.
Yeah.
And make it think it can go lower, but it's really all the lower it'll go. So you could look, there was a lot of, like, really choppy, early on, some choppy stuff, and I figured, well, it's just cycling too much. So I went down and I put, like, towels over the fermenter to keep it, like, keep the cold in so it doesn't cycle as much, and now it's, which I do when I'm...
Oh, so that's really great. You're actually learning more about your own system.
I'm saving wear and tear in the air conditioner and electricity as well.
Something about actual data points.
Right.
Because we do make a lot of assumptions, don't we?
Yeah.
And if the beer is backing it up, like your beer's been fine, then it just reinforces our assumptions. Then you go see this and you go, oh, shit.
I do enjoy it. I got to use it for another batch that I did a month or so ago, and I think that data's on there somewhere. But it was really neat to see the actual point of fermentation.
Okay.
Where it's going, and then suddenly that next data point is no longer on that plane. It's just a little step lower. There you go. That's your fermentation. And so by this, you can gauge your lag phase.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do all that kind of stuff. So when you're sitting at work, you go, fuck, you don't have to go home and sniff the airlock and make sure is that actually happening. You can just go
in
here.
See what's happening.
Yeah, you can go, oh, here. So the cool thing about it, I can actually go in and clean up those data points too, because I know for a fact that those spikes are just from me farting around with the whole thing.
Okay. And then get a real view.
And then you can get a real view, because it'll average out. You know, it's these 6 or 8 points an hour.
Yeah.
And it'll all just clean up itself afterwards.
Your point data-wise. About the fact that you can check it, like, while you're at work and while you're away, I for me, it's the best and the worst thing about this device.
Oh, yeah.
Any devices like this. Like, for example, with my Volkswagen, there's no temperature gauge on my Volkswagen. And I asked the mechanic, I said, hey, I'm thinking about putting in a temperature gauge. You know, I'd like to know what's happening back there. And he looked at me and he said, do not ever, ever.
You don't want to know what's
happening. It's going to freak you the fuck out.
Right.
Let me tell you what's happening back there right now. It's hot as fuck and it will scare the shit out of you.
Right.
Do not put in a temperature gauge. And I feel the same about my brewing. Like, right. I don't want that level of detail. But for Tasty, who's got his system dialed in, like, this is good. This level of information.
Yeah, insulation is all I needed to fix.
Because he's going
to
do something about it. Me, I'm just going to keep right on driving.
Yeah, well, exactly. For you, what would a temperature gauge do?
Nothing.
Right.
And same with my beer. Even with this, I'm still just... I'm not going to go home and change anything in my beer. I'm just going to watch it be all fucked up.
Right. It's going to ruin the rest of your day at work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, but the value, it's just a difference in people.
Yeah.
So so the top graph I'm looking at in green, that's gravity. The the one in red below it is temperature.
Yes, that's the little F next to the numbers.
Okay, thank you. Shit,
but
yeah, that's fine. Yours, I see, had stayed at a steady, like, 56 degrees.
It's fairly steady.
And then Tasty, of course, has just pointed out that his was sort of bumping up and down, and you think that's less the wort itself and more your unit turning on and off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had the same issue when I used the beer bug in my last batch. I didn't at that point didn't have a way to submerge the beer bug probe into the beer.
Yeah.
So I was really curious to see from this data point, if my conical says it's 74, which I was trying to keep it at, and my ambient temperature, I wanted to see that difference. So I slid the temperature probe in between the insulation of my conical and the conical itself to kind of get that. And it was just these loops.
I see.
It would just fluctuate all the time.
Okay.
So there is something to be said for actually putting the probe in the liquid.
Which, you know what? Jamil's been saying that for years.
No.
Hasn't he on the show? We always ask, hey,
how he has kids now.
Where do you put it? Got to insert the probe. And then what's the blue graph at the bottom?
Alcohol percent.
Ah, okay.
Which makes sense, right? As your starting gravity goes...
You have zero alcohol, and Tasty has 1%.
Oh,
Tasty wins again.
I have 0.1%.
Oh, maybe I have to refresh.
You have to refresh.
I was watching his beer not ferment all day.
Well, whatever, Warren.
Watching all day.
No one cares about you.
But, JP, your gravity is still rising. Right. Tasty's is still has a beautiful...
Taryn's at home fucking with his finger. Shaking it.
Mine rose, too.
Okay.
I think that might be because of the physical action of the initial ferment. You know, it rages.
Oh,
you look
right
at a fermenter, it's just going like this. This float...
It's
got to be affected by that. I mean,
yeah,
and yeah, but yours is barely. But Tasty, yours has a nice, like a slow, gradual downhill.
Into the,
well, like
major
I said,
phase,
I was fucking with it. Yeah, my and so I pitched this morning. So Tasty's had 2 days.
Yeah, I'm a day ahead of it.
But yours literally goes to up. Like once you've evened it out, yours is a steady uphill grade.
If you mouse,
you're reverse brewing.
I might be. If you mouse over it, it goes to like the great thousandth. You know, it's
oh, nice.
It's
oh,
like
I see that.
10.591. Right, and
which
so,
is up from the last one.
Yeah, so those little data points don't matter really.
They don't. Now you sound like me. You're like, no, that stuff doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't
you're
matter.
Looking too
a,
close.
It's such a finite thing. It's fine. So, but also, I think what's happening is these larger data spikes are skewing that because it takes it as an average.
Okay.
So I think once I wipe those out, it'll even out.
What's Tasty's excuse? Because it looks perfect.
I don't know. He didn't fuck with it.
I see. Yeah.
I mean, I was like moving my fermenter.
Yeah, I'm straight
and
up.
So it's sloshing.
I'm on a
and
nice
every time
slip.
It's moving, it's pulling on the little tab that feeds the data to the bug.
Okay.
So I was literally messing with how it functioned.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, I love this feature, and I love it because people can play along at home. So as you're getting, you know, we're doing these updates periodically,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, we're probably not going to update you for another couple weeks on the fermentation, yet you folks at home can go see exactly how the beer's doing if you're interested to see how they are. So,
oh, once mine kicks off, I'll talk about it next week.
Thebeerbug.com/challenge. let me ask this real quick. We got to move on, so I need quick answers. But in terms of fermentation temperature, guys, it is about to get really hot in our area this week. In fact, it was 90 today, and there's supposed to be record temperatures by Wednesday, and you guys are both doing a lager. what's going to happen? Are you concerned that the temperature is going to rise in your beer?
There's no way that my one cooling block conical will be able to keep it at in anywhere near the 50s.
So what's your thought?
I don't have one.
Bring it inside your house and turn on the air conditioning.
Yeah, that's a good
Well, that's an idea, right? Yeah. Move it inside.
Yeah.
I mean, I could.
Because
I'm
if the ambient is down to 60-something, 68, then you could get it back to lager temp, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, because I can push, I think, 25, maybe 30 degrees off ambient on that thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're opposed to moving it inside? Just because it's big and heavy?
Yeah, because it's big and heavy.
Yeah. What about yours, Tasty? Do you think you're going to be rising in temp above where you want to be?
No, the system worked because I have a, 75-degree space that it's in.
No matter what the outside.
Space.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets warmer. That's as warm as it gets in the hottest weather.
JP, are you not concerned that in this competition that this temperature could affect you over the next few days?
Well, I mean, after hearing Tasty's mistake about, I mean, I don't want to bring up old shit, but
yeah,
the propane thing.
Right.
I'm far and away the winner, yeah.
Come on, I'm freaking out I was worried that mine was just a couple of degrees too high. You're potentially going to be lagering in your 60s?
Well, yeah, but I can't help it. I mean, unless I get some help and drag that stupid thing in, but I'm trying to figure out if I care enough.
I see.
Like, I think it'll be fine. I think, I think it'll be, it won't be that big of a deal.
Because you think by day three, which that will be-ish, by Wednesday, that any off flavors coming from a higher temperature won't be produced? Is that why you think it'll be fine?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call them off flavors at that temperature, but I'd call them maybe undesirables.
Which could affect the tasting in this competition.
It could, I'm not overly concerned about it.
Tasty commentary.
And I don't have a reason.
Well, I'm going to be raising my temperature in the 60s in a day or two.
You will be?
Yeah.
So
using
the
Tasty lagering method.
So you're not worried about his either?
No. Once I get halfway to my terminal gravity, which
will be in a couple
I just need to look on the screen.
Yeah.
I don't have to go down and take a sample.
Yeah, nice.
You know, and find out I'm not there. I can just look and see if I am or not. That's great. I love that.
Okay.
Once I'm there, then I'll start raising the temperature. I'll probably be at 60 the next, like I'm at 58 now. I'll set it to 60 in a couple days and let it go to 75% to attenuation.
Okay.
Then raise it again.
Sounds like we're keeping Bevo up.
I guess you're just on the Tasty method.
Yeah, unbeknownst to me.
It's a form of birth control, too.
Yeah, let's start talking about my beer.
Is your fermentation temperature at 68 and or 58 and 56? Is that, did you pick those, or is that because it's been so hot?
That's, I can't go any lower.
Right.
Yeah,
that's as low as I can go. 58, okay, 57. Then it cycles a lot.
So. Okay. All right, gentlemen.
We'll see. I don't know.
I do wish
it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked though. I was shocked at how not. I mean, I used 25-27% smoke malt, and there's nothing. I mean, you know, it's there, but it's not like that kind of kick you in the face smoke that we're all I think concerned about. So
yeah,
that was really interesting. I thought about doing like the Schlenkerla method of 100% base malt, 100% smoke malt as your base malt. I was a little too concerned. But now I'm like, well, if you really want a smoke beer, why not, right?
Yeah. Well, you could always add back, right? Later, if you decide it's not smoky enough, you could...
Maybe.
You could add some flavor.
I don't know about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm excited to see what happens, boys. Sounds like things are going fine. So thank you for...
So far.
Thank you for the update.
As soon as fermentation happens, I'll let you know.
All right, before the break, let me let you know real quick. BeerLawCenter.com, the people who protect our hop grenade, which is one hell of a job. There's a little Easter egg in the Michigan Beer film if you want to check it out.
Oh, yeah?
That's all I'm going to say about that. If you're a fan of the show and you've heard me bitch about the hop grenade being used, check out the Michigan Beer film. There's a little Easter egg in there. It's interesting.
It's so irritating. It's so irritating.
But the people who protect my trademark and do a great job, it's John over at Beer Law Center. He's really focused on the craft beer industry. He's a home brewer, and now he's turned pro as a lawyer and looking to help you protect your trademark. Go to BeerLawCenter.com and check it out. He'll do good work for you, I promise. He's doing good work for me, so have a look at it. All right, when we come back, home brewer of the week, which we haven't done in a couple weeks, so that's exciting. I got an all-new home brewer of the week, plus I got to do feedback. And a few other things. We'll wrap up our Twitter game. So hang in there. Second to last show in Martinez, everybody. It's the session.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Have you ever dreamed of attending the World Brewing Academy? This year, thanks to Lalamond and Anstar, one lucky brewer will make that dream a reality for free. Lalamond and Danstar invite you to enter the Beer School 2015 contest. One lucky grand prize winner will receive fully paid tuition to the 2015 World Brewing Academy web-based concise course in brewing technology worth almost $4,000. From now until December 13th, 2014, every Danstar yeast packet you use is your ticket to enter. Visit danstaryeast.com for the details and to print your official entry form. There's no limit on the number of times you can enter, so get brewing with Danstar and get your entries in to the Danstar 2015 Beer School Contest. Whether you want to build your home brewing skills or build a career as a professional brewer, this course will change the way you think of beer and brewing. Enter at danstaryeast.com and get the dry yeast advantage with Danstar and Lalamond premium brewing yeast, and enter to win.
What'd you get? More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zanishev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we want to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering. but it takes a back seat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam you in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for any beer style. I want a Cicerone. The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry, and to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, KeystoneHomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online, or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
You're listening to The Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
All right, welcome back to the program. We got phone calls to get to. First of all, we've got Jill the Thrill on the line to talk to Tasty. Remember Jill the Thrill, Tasty?
Oh, sure, I remember.
I believe you tried to make out with her at an NHC.
Who do you think gave her the name The Thrill?
Okay, right.
Her husband.
Hey, boys.
Hi, Jill.
Oh, no. Hi, boys. Why would I be weighed down with a husband? It's far too fun.
Yeah, girl.
Hey, there's a whole bunch of us here, Seattle Beer Week, Naked City Tap House. We just wanted to call and say hi and give you all a little bit of a hard time that you're not up here partying with us.
I love Naked City. I've been there before, and it's a great little spot.
Is that anything like erotic?
It is.
Different.
Is that a strip club?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
More beer, less breasts is my experience with Naked City.
That's a perfect description.
So it's Seattle Beer Week, huh?
Yeah, it just started last Thursday because in Seattle we have trouble counting. So Seattle Beer Week, of course, is 10 days long.
Right. Apparently.
Every night's a good time. Our friends at Firestone Walker were down at the Pine Box. And so we stopped by there, and now we're here. And everyone said, hey, wait, Brewing Network's on tonight. And then we're starting to see tweets coming out about Tasty and somebody's beard, and I got jealous. I had to call.
Oh, yeah.
You want him in your beard?
So if Tasty were at Seattle Beer Week now, would you make out with him this time then?
We're waiting.
Well, you know, girls got to do charity. Girls got to eat, you know.
Well, Tasty don't have to pay, that's for sure.
But he does have a nice hotel room.
I'll take it.
Are you going to NHC this year, Jill the Thrill?
Oh, come on. Who could miss that one? It'd be silly if I missed that one.
Oh, there we go.
It would be silly.
I want a camera. I want a video camera on Jill the Thrill the whole time.
Oh, the GoPro. The POV GoPros?
Yep. Yeah. I want a Jill the Thrill the whole time. I want it hidden from Tasty's view. And I just want to see what goes down.
Or who?
You don't believe some things I say.
At least he's polite enough to ask if he can touch my breast. You know, right. The rest of you guys just, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like free grab city for every girl there. So y'all behave this year.
Yeah, we just go for it. Well, it starts with an arm around the shoulder. It's not my fault I have long fingers.
Right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of grabbing that goes on at beer events? Is that a thing, huh?
You know, it's just like it's a protective bubble you have to establish around yourself, and unless you want it. So, you know, it's all about choice.
Right. All right, Jill. Well, thank you for the update, and have fun at Naked City. I really do like that spot, so I'm glad you guys are partying over there.
Thanks, Mudge. Don Webb's got a great place here, and we've got great friends. So come on down and party.
All right. Cheers. Thanks, Jill.
Thanks. Cheers. Bye.
There you go. Jill the Thrill, everybody.
The update. What exactly did she update us on?
Everything. Oh, everything we need to know, JP. Oh, all right.
She's at Naked City.
Everything we need to know.
Thank God. Jill the Thrill. 12,000 word answers that when one will do. Are you going to go to ANC? Oh, well, I couldn't miss it because blah, 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 blah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I'll be there. Hope to see you too.
All right, real quick, before we get to our homebrew of the week, because we got a few things left to do. Got a feedback left to do also. We got Twitter game left to do. Don't forget about our good friends over at adamandeve.com. They're not just our good friends. Let's face it, they're humanity's good friends. They're the good friends of all of us pervs in the world who don't want to go stand at that local pervy shop and be stared at by other perverts. You can go to adamandeve.com right now, and for a limited time only, you can get, by using coupon code BNARMY, that's BNARMY, you get 50% off just about any one item. You get free shipping. You get three free adult DVDs from all sorts of genres. You've heard them here on the program.
Midsection. I don't know. I just made that up.
Our new thing now is categories they don't have.
That don't exist.
Yeah.
Now, you know,
donut
it's
hole.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah. Donut
they have
hole.
A how-to section.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need DVDs about that. God, who doesn't? There's
how-to
DVD.
I was doing research so I could have something good if you pointed at me.
Is there one that's like how to get laid?
No. That,
in
it's
general?
It's the name of a Chinese porn star.
How-to.
Yeah, how-to.
She has her whole...
Why did Bebo just say, so I can have something to talk about? Or she was doing research and she held up an empty pack of batteries.
No, I wrote that? My answers down on the batteries.
Well, what else is that? What other categories did you find on there besides how-to?
Gonzo. I don't know what that is, though.
Gonzo. JP, please
no idea.
Elaborate.
I think it's just, you know, going crazy.
Just crazy.
Going gonzo.
That's the wrong Muppet.
I'm pretty sure gonzo is like close-ups of everything.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, it should be close-ups, then.
I think it means, like, we're going to show you everything.
Yeah.
Like, not just, but, like, close-ups. Like, I think gonzo is, it's all here for you to see in one frame.
It's all sex all the time. There's no plot line.
I need a little story.
That's what the Urban Dictionary story. Says.
Oh, that's all it is.
Terrible, though. Really, you need it?
You need character development.
I don't need, like, a long story.
You need the guy to ring the doorbell.
Did somebody order a pizza?
UPS.
It's more of a... I just need a setup. That's all I need. Because if he's just, like, all of a sudden there, fucking, well, that doesn't... But I need to know, like, is he the neighbor? That's all I need to know.
He's there to install the cable.
That's all I need to know.
And install it, and uninstall it, and uninstall it. And reinstall it.
I don't need to know like all the different cable options that he's there to present. I just need to know, is it the cable guy or the neighbor or whatever? That's all I need.
Like, is she babysitting?
Yeah. What is that category called where it's like not a whole story, but it's not gonzo?
It's called
porn.
I see. All right. AdamandEve.com. Use coupon code BNARMY. That's BNARMY. And you'll also get a gift, like a special gift. And I think... you get a different gift every time you order. So order multiple times. Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. So I got feedback to do, but first of all...
we have a pig in the studio.
I do believe it's time for our homebrew of the week.
It's time for your close-up.
Now the BN Homebrewer Spotlight, brought to you by Logic.
All right, we got Sam on the line. He's our home brewer of the week. Sam, what's happening?
Not much, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Thanks for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm reading my notes, and Sam, you're not just a home brewer. You're also a pro brewer. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, just about a year now. It'll be May 20th. Will be my 1 year as gun pro.
And where have you worked?
I started up at North Coast with Rasputin and Scrimshaw and all that. And actually, right now, I just finished knocking out an IPA down at Lagunitas.
Oh, I love both of those breweries. North Coast has always been very nice to us. That's a great brewery with some very good beer. And then, of course, everyone knows we love Lagunitas. So you've got some good pedigree in you.
Yeah, it was a good first two breweries right off the top are some of the best in the era. So I'm very appreciative for that opportunity.
But you're still homebrewing.
Yeah, that's what I liked about Sam's note is I think he's even gotten more into it, which is not something we hear very often.
Explain that, Sam. How do you still have time to homebrew?
The schedules we work at Lagunitas are 4 10-hour shifts, so I get 3 days off every weekend, and I try to brew at least one or two batches. And just seeing a lot of the batch production at Lagunitas and North Coast, I'm starting to make 3-4 batches in a day, just kind of based on some of the techniques that I'm learning in production brewing as well.
So are you doing it to become a better, even a pro brewer, because you can experiment with these techniques at home, or just because you love homebrewing?
I love homebrewing to start with. Just to play with some new hops. We get some good stuff comes through Lagunitas that we get to play with a little bit. It's more just a love for brewing. And, I got married last week, and I ended up making all the wedding favors. Were fun to give out. But I also had a bunch of family in town, and it was good to be able to stock their hotel rooms with local homebrewed beer when they got into town.
Wow, so you gave everybody homebrew, not even like Lagunitas beer in your hotel room. You gave them your beer.
There was some Lagunitas and some North Coast in there as well. But, yeah, a lot of homebrew. I think I had 10 different kinds, really, at that point.
Like what? Give us some examples of the homebrew.
I'm big into sours and smoked beers right now. I know I caught a little bit of your interview earlier, but a lot of Berliner Weiss, a lot of Goose blended sour ales. I've got a couple of barrel projects that I'm working on right now that I'm really excited about. I think I don't know if JP's in there tonight. I haven't been able to hear the whole show.
No, I'm here.
You drank one of my Ethel, it was a Brett Stout back on Dr. Homebrew right after GABF.
Oh, did I like it?
Yeah, I think you did.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Great.
Love it.
It sounds good.
Hurt. Have you tried that again with the guy's notes and all that?
Yeah, I did. And actually, that became a big part of the base for the wedding beer that I did.
Nice.
It ended up being a dark blended sour ale, a little bit of stout, a little bit of goose that I had going for a while, and then a little bit of an amber sour that one of my buddies from North Coast did, and he actually had aged part of that in one of the old Rasputin barrels that we had left over.
Sweet.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
What did you do before you were a pro brewer?
I was a rapist.
I was actually a merchant marine, and so the next question is, of course, what is a fucking merchant marine?
Hey, what's a merchant marine?
It's a rapist.
It's a sailor. I worked on oil tankers and supply ships for the Navy for about 3 years. After graduating California Maritime Academy in Vallejo.
So I always wonder if those gigs, if the people on the boat are either they have to completely abstain or they're completely fucking drunk the whole time. Because you're traveling across the ocean for like a week at a time in the middle of nowhere. And what else is there to do? So could you answer that for me, Sam? Are you allowed to drink on these things?
Not on American ships. American ships are dry. So what I did is I actually brought some hops and malt along with me, and I was making little hop teas to try to get some new flavors out. That was, I think two years ago when we had 4 or 5 different new hop varieties that I hadn't tried, and I knew I was going to be dry for the next couple of months.
Right.
Sounds like
torture.
Yeah, exactly. I had to bring in hops to all the local bars overseas just to spice up my Heineken a little bit.
Yeah, but by torture, I don't mean just the abstaining for a couple months, but not only did you abstain, you're like, hey, I'll tease myself with hop tea all the way through the trip, too.
Yeah. And actually, I was listening to you guys for almost 10 hours a day, so you guys helped me through that as well. It was nice to hear all the beers that I couldn't drink while I was over there.
Right, well, thank you, but that still sounds like torture.
He might be a glutton for punishment.
He's going to go to the S&M category over at Adam.
Right.
He likes boatloads of semen.
Yeah. Yes. Now,
get it? Get it? There's layers.
Wait, so there are layers. Now, what about the non-American ships? Those guys are allowed to drink?
Yeah, a lot of the British ships do have like a daily ration that they're given, and some of the other foreign flags as well. It's a little more open. The captain will just buy a case of beer and give it out freely throughout the trip or whatever.
Right.
But even some of the American ships, what we would do overseas, we'd bring a whole container full of the good stuff. And then when we were in port, you know, on our days off and all that, we would have it just what they called beer on the pier. You're just having a little picnic down on the pier. You get some beers out and a barbecue, and it's a good time with the crew.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The Exxon Valdez, were they allowed to drink? drinking was allowed there,
only
right?
For the first half of the voyage.
He wasn't allowed to, but he was, which I think was the problem.
Just checking.
Did you ever homebrew on one of the international ships?
No, I was with the Navy for most of my time, so I never had a chance to. But every time we'd pull into port, I would homebrew in the hotel. If we were in like a shipyard in Norfolk, Virginia, we were there for about 6 months at one point. So I was homebrewing my ass off in the hotel room there. I don't know if the maids liked it too much, but the crew was pretty appreciative.
Right. So you just brought your gear with you, or when you got there, you hit the homebrew shop and bought what you needed?
Yeah, I did a little of both.
Okay.
I would bring, maybe a fermenter or something like that. But yeah, it was generally just going to town, buy the local stuff, and then give it up or ship it home when I was done.
So were your shipmates just hanging out in the hotel room with you the whole time?
Yeah, it was a good party, teaching people to homebrew while we had the downtime.
Nice.
Why was it so long? 6 months?
We were doing a lot of big major engine repairs, and stuff got delayed, of course. And I think they had to remachine a lot of the very critical parts and all that.
I see. You're pretty hardcore, Sam. You sound like one hell of a homebrewer, man.
I try to be.
Yeah. This is a good spotlight. All right, so now when I drink Lagunitas beer, potentially you've made it, too.
You'll think of semen.
Yes.
You get a little semen in every Lagunitas.
I'm sure that's a tagline that they will be using soon.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to hear back from Jeremy on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy's going to change the van from Lagunitas sucks to
Lagunitas semen.
A little semen in every bottle. all right, Sam. Well, thank you for calling in and playing along. You're a fine specimen of a homebrewer of the week, man.
I get it.
Oh, well, thanks, guys, and thanks for all the help over the years. You guys, big reason I'm a brewer now is because of you guys.
Absolutely. Well, you're welcome, and I hope to see you at Lagunitas, man.
All right, sounds good.
Cheers, Sam.
All right.
Do you have to thank a merchant marine for his service?
Huh. Well, he didn't like crash a boat, so that's a positive. Yeah. I don't think so. No.
Good.
Yeah.
You know who you do have to thank, though, is ecologiccleansers.com. Logic Inc. brought you that homebrewer of the week.
Hey.
And they are homebrewers, the Logic guys, and they know how to create the best cleaners for homebrewers. Their straight A and their Wendt step are second to none. So go to ecologiccleansers.com and support those who support us.
You know, I didn't know it was called a merchant marine yesterday, but I said to Kate yesterday, if all else fails, I was thinking about my life and my career and If failure falls upon me, rather than like going back to being a bartender or one of my other shitty jobs, I want a job on a boat. Apparently, I want to be a merchant marine.
You don't have the back for it. You kidding me? One wrong.
He didn't say he had to do anything.
Right. It's not deadliest catch.
No, but
every boat on the ocean.
Say I want to be a craft fisherman.
But like one wrong, shift in the wave, and you my back. I can't lay. And everyone's gonna just shave your head while you're sleeping.
That's okay, but I just lay in my berth. Then
or in a hotel while the ship's on dry dock for 6 months.
I'm telling you, I think that's my other career path. I missed my calling.
Right.
I ended up here.
So you want a title, but you want to live on disability.
That's right. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
It sounded like to me.
That sounds about right. But I want disability to be on a boat.
Right. He wants to see the world on
You're
disability.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, I want to see the world on disability. Maybe that's actually Beardy just pinpointed it.
Yeah,
my other job is to see the world on disability. That's
right.
What I would actually like to do.
Move to the Midwest, and I think you'll be fine.
I think that's what Obama ran on, isn't it?
That's what I really want out of life: to see the world on disability. Thank you, Beardy.
Can you see the world on? Well, I guess a Netflix subscription you can.
Well, Beardy can't, but I can. Yeah. I can see just fine.
Yeah. I'll see it through Justin.
Yeah,
he'll tell me all about
through
it
through the gift. Of story.
I'll take Beardy with. I'll hold his hand. Beardy, right now we're looking at the water.
This again. Is water. It has a name. It does a thing.
I'll throw a little bit in his face so he can feel it.
Oh, what was that?
This is cactus. Throw a little bit of that in his face. You see what I'm getting at.
I do.
All right. It looks like we have to do some feedback, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do that.
Oh my God.
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Hey guys, and you too, Bevo. I had a licorice stout the other day. Normally not a fan of such craziness, but this was incredible. When I first drank the beer, it tasted like a good stout, but then there was an incredible black licorice aftertaste. Not overpowering, but just enough to take notice. How does a homebrewer mimic such beer? That's the question.
Pour some Jaeger into the secondary?
Star anise is the black licorice flavor, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the spice that actually helps?
Start out with that.
And if I remember right, in talking to pros about using star anise, it's a strong one.
Yeah.
It'll make you lactate.
It's star anise makes you lactate?
Like people or women who are pregnant?
Women who are nursing.
Or like me.
It is a milk producer. Like,
can you imagine?
Star anise everybody. Makes Justin lactate.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Be careful when you go to the homebrew store. Don't buy licorice root and think that that's going to give you the flavor, because that's just a sweetener. It's an additive. It's not going to give you... It doesn't taste like black licorice.
Okay.
It's like 100 times more sweet than sugar. So if you put a bunch of that in your beer, thinking that it's going to like give you that, it's no.
You can make a session IPA.
Yes, you can definitely do that. So so don't do that.
Okay.
I don't know how to do it, but don't do that.
All right. So I think star anise is the ticket, unless anybody else has better input, and use it sparingly. Tasty?
Yeah, I'd make a test batch or make a tincture of that. That'd be a great idea, I think.
There you go. All right, he goes on to say, this is from Eric, by the way. He says, I love the Brewcaster Challenge shows also. I enjoy listening to the professionals and learning about their beer and business. But I'm a home brewer and really enjoy when the shows focus on home brewing.
Thank you.
Which I think we did today, so there you go.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for writing in, Eric. Steven writes in. Actually, Steven and Scott both write in.
Together.
Yeah.
who is doing the dictation and who
is... Well, left hand is, right, left is hand, Steven, right hand. And then the right hand on the keyboard is Scott.
Oh.
And they never cross fingers, because that's different.
What do you mean by dictation?
Yes. Hello, my intrepid group of dumb, drunk-ass brewcasters.
That's not fair.
Weird.
Having just recently finished listening to all of your various podcasts in the archives, except for Dr. Homebrew...
Dick.
I felt the need to commend you. While there are a million useful things I could have been doing with my life, I instead found myself wasting hour after hour listening to your frat boy meets prepubescent tween banter.
Weird. You're
welcome. Yeah.
To make matters worse, more and more I found my friend and I referring to your shows during our brew days. Most commonly it amounted to, I heard Tasty or Doc say this, or we should do that, or I remember when Justin totally fucked this up. therefore, as a token of our thanks, we decided to record a song for you. Mostly, my friend and I play Celtic music, so we decided to write the lyrics to the song Beer, Beer, Beer in honor of the BN. And we figured it was the least we could do. From Steven and Scott, terrible musicians. You can go to terriblemusicians.com and see them. Well, should we listen?
Sure.
Yeah. Terrible song?
They sound like terrible musicians.
It is fairly terrible.
Okay, let's see what we have. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, you will.
So far, so good.
A long time ago, and I ain't gonna jive, the Brewing Network was founded in 2005. Along came a man by the name of Justin C. And he invented a podcast and he gave it out for free. Well, he could have been a dentist, a prostitute, or thief. He couldn't be a brewer, so that we all agree. His therapist has helped him to choose the right career. The Lord bless Justin, the man who talks about beer, beer.
Oh, I like it so far.
Beer, yeah.
Beer. I like the second singer. He, like, doesn't really know the words.
Beer. Beer.
The Creek Monkey, the Trappist, the Hop Grenade as well. Once the BN shows up, the place will go to hell. So all you taste is ladies at 2 o'clock, ye halt! You may have gotten herpes, but it isn't Justin's fault.
That's right.
It's true. Nature.
One, two, three.
Natural.
Human's fault.
It's organic. It comes from nature. It's totally fine.
Right. I think this is the first song ever in all of our years that's inspired by me.
I like it.
Yeah.
The Lord bless Justin, the man who talks about beer.
Which makes it the best song we've ever gotten.
Right. It makes me want to eat a potato, and I don't know why that is.
Anyone want Jameson?
Yeah.
A bushel of malt, a barrel of hops, and then a lot of work. You give a pint of Bevo, and she will start to twerk.
Yeah.
An apple a day, but an IPA will keep away JP.
That's right.
There's only one brewcaster that you want to see. One, two,
One, two, three. Well, he could have been a dentist, a prostitute, or
I couldn't have been a dentist.
Well, I like that those three jobs are on even, you know, a dentist or a prostitute or a thief.
Choose the right career. The Lord bless Justin, the man who talks about beer.
At least I got blessed. Mevo's just twerking. I got blessed.
Tweety twerk it.
Well, on the day that I have video of her kid twerking, by the way.
St. Peter locked him out because of the time he spent
winning.
Then Jesus looked at Justin and said, do you know Scott, the Jew? Justin said, I have heard of him, but I wouldn't drink his brew. One, two, three. He could have been a dentist.
All right, well, there you go. That's from, what are they called, horrible musicians?
Terrible musicians.
Terrible musicians. You go to terriblemusicians.com. Thank you for the song. That's a wonderful tribute.
That was good.
That was good.
It was very nice.
It had some talent.
I wonder who they were talking about with the only brewcaster you want to see.
Oh, it was Justin.
It was me.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
That means that the rest of you are hideous, right, and I'm the handsome one.
They.
That's how I interpreted it.
No, I think...
Twerking.
Is that... No.
Yeah, right. We still just want to see Justin.
You're blind. Shut up.
Yeah, Beardy, great compliment from Beardy.
Yeah. You're really handsome. Beardy, turn on the wall, huh?
But I'm looking right at you.
Right.
The wall. All right, and finally, our spam of the week. Hola, conforme nuestro comandido. Efectúe y depósito de valor combinado en su cuenta. Por gentileza, confirmar o recoba para confirmar de sus datos y finalizar.
Really?
A negociado.
Muy bien.
I don't know, that's it. That's
You're just crying right now.
It started out sounding like real Spanish.
You did that very good.
And then it turned into like the Godfather Italian. Yeah. Right? Where it's neither English or Italian, and certainly not Spanish.
I think the guy cleaning the hallway is offended.
Oh, boy. All right. What else do I have to do? Twitter game?
Yeah,
Twitter.
Oh, wait. Who was feedback brought to us by?
Oh, thank you. And feedback is brought to you by Adventures in Homebrewing, our good friends over at Adventures in Homebrewing, who are holding an amazing brunch. It has two of my favorite things, bacon and beer.
And brunch.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, if you get into NHC a little early this year, it's going to be Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. It's at the GOEI Center, G-O-E-I. You can go to Adventures in Homebrewing's website, homebrewing.org, and it's the Bacon and Beer Brunch, and search for it. And I'm actually going to be there, and there will be beer and bacon. And I don't know if I'm going to be partaking in the bacon. Maybe I'll ask them to have some turkey bacon for the Jew. From
Moscow, you're not that strong of a Jew.
No, I'm not.
We all know it. You better eat some goddamn bacon.
I'll be dipping my bacon in beer.
I encourage attendees of the beer and bacon brunch at Adventures in Homebrewing to take Instagram photos of Moscow in imbibing bacon. And we'll put them all over our
just
account.
Don't send them to my mother, please.
You'd be devastated. Moscow! But she calls him Moscow.
But go check him out. Yeah, grab a ticket.
Well, she's a big fan.
I can't believe it.
She's a big fan.
And she's a really high, and she sounds like a pterodactyl. Moscow!
Well, I got a cold sweat broken out.
Can I clean my room?
Get your hand out of your pants!
Now you're really creeping me. Look at the hair on my arm is standing up. Anyway, go get a ticket and hang out with me and a lot of your other closest homebrewing friends and eat some bacon and some beer with Adventures in Homebrewing.
Every time I come in this room, your hands in your pants.
I have an itch.
It's not itchy.
It's itching.
Use the cream.
You don't know.
I got you cream.
The cream smells like onions.
Use the cream. It's been blessed.
I'm leaving.
The cream smells like balls.
It's kosher.
Scott's teenage voice got real deep.
It changes sometimes.
The cream has a side effect. It lowers your voice.
I'm not supposed to put it on my throat.
There was a moment in my life where there was a sound my vocal cords could make between the one I'm making now
and
this one.
And there's nothing left in between anymore. And I don't know if it's this radio show or if I have fucking polyps or something.
You might have
polyps. There is no note I can do between this and this anymore.
I have a similar thing. I can't go high pitched anymore.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't know what it is. But like this is about the highest I can go.
And you're his mother too.
And look, it sounds a little bit.
Where is the in between? It's left me.
It disappears.
I gotta go get that looked at.
Yeah, can you imagine? So, Mr. Crossley, why are you here? Well, because I want to make this voice here, but a little bit higher, and I just can't.
I'm trying to do this, but less annoying.
Get the fuck out. Just leave my office.
Okay. What was our Twitter game today without the long story?
Our Twitter game, well, you see, because first, Beardy hit puberty. And then he decided, Tasty lives in Beardy's beard. And
yes.
Now that he's not paying rent, what's he spending his money on?
Okay. Wait, why would he? Never mind.
Yeah, why wouldn't I charge rent?
Because you're a nice guy.
Oh, that's right.
Idiot.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Songful Chris writes, Tasty would decorate the interior of Beardy's beard with pictures of Bebo's ass and copies of the Janice Brown recipe. So that's what he spent his money on.
Okay.
Scott Brake writes, a Pico Brew Zymatic so you can spend less time brewing and more time laying plenty of pipe.
Not a bad idea, Tasty.
And the beard?
Sure. Whatever you want to do, man. That's where you live.
The beard's a rock charging me rent.
German Rocket says, Tasty would have Doc install a beard feeler to get some side boob action.
A beard feeler?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can reach out from the between the beard and feel some boob.
Every time Beardy hugs. And then it's just like a voice going up to Beardy's ear. Hug that one. No, go hug her.
12 o'clock.
Go hug her right now.
Straight ahead.
Don't you have to give Candy another hug?
And Beardy's like, come on. Yeah. He's like, not again, bro.
Yeah.
You and your fucking feeler.
I'm tired of hugging my wife.
To shake your beard.
Yeah. I keep getting slapped. Just go hug her. Shut up.
Yeah. Brewing Up Trouble says he would buy big boobs videos from Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Which, who wouldn't do that, right?
Who wouldn't?
Sierra Golf writes, he'd spend the money on a new dildo mold. Adam and Eve have been flooded with requests.
Yeah.
If you remember, he broke it.
Oh, he did break it. That's right.
Our good friend Brian Shaw writes, an RID lice kit at Walmart.
Well, that's just smart.
Right.
That's just good housekeeping.
Right, yeah. If you're living here, you got to have that. Right.
And our very good friend Gay Kyle.
Yes.
Writes, condoms, Viagra, and a GoPro for his new amateur porn site, Tasty's Casting Couch.
Okay.
So there you go. There you have it.
It's got to be the side boob guy, the feeler that reaches out of the beard every time. Right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, sure. Let's give it to that guy.
Michael Patton, German Rockets, everybody.
All right. Well done.
You did.
Keep it going.
No.
One more time.
I feel like I smoked weed today because I keep forgetting. I have things in my brain, and then 20 seconds later, I forget what they were.
All your thinks fall out?
I haven't smoked weed in years, and all my thinks are gone. I don't know what's happening. I'm overtired or something.
Maybe you only have a certain allotment for your life, and you've used them all up.
I think so. I've used up all of my thinks.
Maybe you're just stupid.
Yeah. Or maybe. Yeah. Just maybe. You're a fucking idiot.
Right. That's definitely possible. Did you have something else, Moskowitz?
No, man. Let's go. I got to drive to L.A.
You're just reading a piece of paper for
It makes me feel like I'm doing a real radio show when I'm shuffling papers in front of it. And in today's top story.
Right. All right. Next week, we have the House of Pendragon Brewing. It's also our last show from Studio Double D. So we should invite our friends. We should make sure all the staff is here, for one. It would be nice to have our staff say goodbye to the studio with us, don't you think? Maybe we should all... Maybe as a closing gesture, we can all pee off the deck at the end of last show.
It had to happen at some point.
I can't do that.
A big sword.
You can.
Fight.
I'll bring you a pee funnel. They make this little.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
for camping, and it fits over your vagina, and it.
Yeah,
I'll just show it to you. Yeah.
You just squeeze yourself into the thing.
I mean,
well, it's not.
Am I still the only one who's ever peed off of the balcony?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are fucking losers.
That's why I
can
feel
I get
like...
A, can I get a heads-up text if this is a BYO chair? Like, if you saw all this crap?
Yeah.
Trying to sit on the floor.
We'll let if you have know, to bring your own chair, yeah.
BYO chair?
Bevo, if I bring you a pee funnel, will you pee off the deck with
no.
us?
No.
Why not? You can put it, like, in the zipper. Like, you don't have to drop trow.
You know, 1 billion
I don't
billion
think I'd be
people.
Able to be honest.
You think you have stage fright?
I don't pee in the bathroom when other people are in the bathroom. I have to wait for them to
really?
Leave.
Well,
to
get
go.
Over, you can get over that.
Why are other people in your bathroom?
Like in the ladies' room.
Oh, I see.
Wow. A UN study said that 1 billion people on the planet go to the bathroom outside. We're just joining the rest of humanity.
I love the study.
The UN. Study.
Do you pee outside? Yep.
There's another one.
Yeah. Oh shit, I lost count. We gotta start over.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
You went
199.
I'm pretty sure they just were like, okay, who has indoor plumbing? Okay, you're out.
The UN.
And it's a nice even number too.
Right.
1 billion. Stop studying.
We're done.
Right? Yeah. And stop. What are they gonna do with the information? You know?
raise money to put indoor plumbing in the Sahara.
Turns out we can stop watering the entire southern hemisphere.
Bedouins need a place to piss.
Based on this study.
There's going to be porta-johns all over the Sahara.
Alec Bevo was using the acronym BYO something and then just said the last word.
BYOB, chair.
BYO chair.
Right, yeah. BYO chair.
You missed the whole point of an acronym.
No. I knew what I was doing. I just didn't give a crap.
Thanks.
I just couldn't think of the letter.
Hello, loud.
Wait, chair starts with a J, right?
BYOCH. It's a ch sound.
BYO.
It starts with a ch. A, B, C, D, ch.
All right, so join us next week for our last show ever from Studio Double D, and then either you'll hear us from the Hop Grenade after that or remote from somewhere. From Bevo's bathroom or something.
you'll hear us.
It's very small.
It's going to be fun in the meantime, though. House of Pendragon's going to be in studio, and they're bringing kegs and bottles, and they are getting all sorts of praise for their beer early in their existence.
Oh,
so it'll be well worth it for anyone who shows up.
I think we should all get cabs and make the Brewing Network drunk of the week.
Sure.
Like the whole Brewing Network.
Sure.
JP will chug a pint next week.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that next week, sure.
It's not a show you have to watch.
12
Jack, well, Jack every Monday living night, out his life.
Yeah, I have to go home and watch it right now.
It's not like the Return of Three's Company or something.
No, Mr.
Jack Tripper's on tonight.
Two people died.
First
how
of all,
they...
too soon.
Right.
Sorry, my bad.
Rest in peace, John Travolta.
John Ritter.
Oh shit! I was a big fan.
Too soon to forget.
Right. You will never forget.
I only know that because of Andy's song.
Our friend Andy wrote a great tribute song to. He loved Jack Tripper so much that he wrote a tribute song to him, which I can't play for you.
No.
All right. Can we get out of here?
Yes. Let's go, please.
Let's go, Jip.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Go check out the Michigan Beer Film and get all the scoop on the great Michigan beer scene over at mibeerfilm.com. Follow JP over on Twitter and find out all what tens of people already know. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. Warren is here. Yeah. Get your tickets now for BNA9 over at brewingnetwork.com/BNA9. Production director on the session has been Push Eject. Today's show has been produced by Scott Moskowitz. JP was waiting to leave so he can watch 24 again. Bevo is planning her next meal. And your host was Justin Crossley. Be sure to find the Redneck on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram.
Hey, and real quick, thanks to our good friends at Society for sending us a growler of the Pugilist. They brought it to Boonville just to share with you guys. So that's what you guys were drinking here.
Damn
at the last
good beer.
Segment.
We liked it.
Yeah, wonderful beer. Mike, thanks for that, brother. And Dougie, everybody at Society, we appreciate it. Straight to the great ass is cherry.